The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What is that? Someone made a tape of something dying or something.
Turn that crap off! We'll throw it out!
I want this music out of my head!
Hey, turn that off! Turn that off right now!
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Well, Dick, here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence, and nobody can hang with my stuff. You know, I'm just a big, hairy American winning machine. If you ain't first, you're last.
Paul Perillo.
Shut up in here. I'm trying to sleep. One of you turds is about to get smacked in the mouth.
Hey, stop yelling at me, okay?
And Andy. And Andy?
Hey, driver!
Please be 18.
Andy Hart.
We were shellbacks together, Andy! You got payback coming!
Eric Scalavino.
Remember that time we got kicked out of biology for playing with Matchbox cars?
Yeah!
Who's retarded now?
For now, anyway.
My husband Gregory and I wish only for that which every other couple wishes for. To tame Komodo dragons in Sri Lanka.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hakuna Matata, bitches.
I can't hear you.
I'm not hearing you, Fred.
My thing's on, too.
My thing's on, too. Yours. Did you have a power failure in that whole area or something?
Maybe. No.
I can't hear you.
I was also doing construction, so who knows?
Oh, good.
I'll be in a
second.
Okay. So I can't hear
what Fred was saying was, welcome to PFW in Progress.
Well, actually, what he was saying before that when he wasn't talking on the air was about how large breasts Wendy has. Who's her? I don't even know her name.
Williams. Check. Wendy Williams.
Now this thing's clicking. Wendy Williams. Large.
Ow.
Hello.
Ow, that hurt.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, my ears you're
hurt.
Back.
So apparently
stop grabbing that thing.
Apparently the fix is Kevin unplugs it, blows on it, and plugs it back in. So,
and we're back.
Yeah. Great start to
a big show with
everyone
the crew
back here. All right, well, welcome back, everybody.
Hard to believe we survived without all of
them. Did Bilo break that microphone by talking into it too often?
No, he sat in Paul's chair, I believe.
Yeah, I was there for the show that Bilo was on. It was myself, Bilo, and Jackie. And, you know, he did talk a lot.
You know. Maybe it's that chair.
Wait, I mean, you know, you invite me on.
It's
I mean,
a long-winded
I mean, on the radio.
Chair.
I mean, you know, I'm supposed to be on. I mean, you know, I mean. You know.
Hot dogs and sausages.
Jackie was like, wow, that really went fast. Well, you just sat there and listened to him talk. All right. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline. We'll be here until 2 o'clock talking everything Patriots as we crawl closer to the beginning of training camp. And probably one of the craziest, you know, times between the end of mini camp and the beginning of training camp we've seen, right?
Ever, probably.
Well, yeah, but it's really one thing.
Yeah,
it's one event, one play. Yeah. Yeah, the Dennard thing would be a little blip on the radar.
Well,
without
I,
the Hernandez thing.
No, you know what?
True.
I think it would be the big news team,
but not for Dennard. If it would be a blip if it was some guy who hadn't had anything happen to him before.
I still think it's a blip.
I don't think it's a big deal. No, I don't. I don't.
Yeah. Everybody wants to lump it in because of the massive nature of the Hernandez situation.
No, but forget about Hernandez for a minute.
I'm saying this. The Dennard story is different than your normal DUI because of
who he is.
He's on probation.
And I agree with Fred. I agree with Fred on that.
Exactly.
Now, is it bigger than it should be because of Hernandez? I agree with Andy. Yes, but I don't think this is a blip. I don't think a DUI a year after a guy punched a cop is a blip.
No.
I think there's a lot of players in the league that have these minor things pop up year after year.
But that's not good.
I'm not arguing it's good.
But I don't think they're minor blips when the same guy has it. I think when a guy is a multiple guy, like Titus Young, for example, it's not a blip. It's a multiple effect. Not a blip.
Blips.
Not a blip.
Akeem Tlaib is not a blip.
I don't think that.
I'm all for taking these situations individually. You know, don't, you know, But individually, I've got a problem with Dennard with his judgment. Yeah. You know?
Well, there's no question.
You're on thin ice.
He acted stupidly, as your president would say.
Exactly. You know, so you're on thin ice already, and then you go and do that. There were multiple.
Who had 1205?
Yeah.
Those are my favorites. I always look, it's the first time that, like, we just veer off the track.
There were multiple ways he could have gotten home that night.
Correct.
And he chose to get behind the wheel.
But a lot of people do.
Again, doesn't make it right.
No, I know, but I'm just saying.
But I agree. You know, I disagree with
the Denver
point.
Broncos have two high executives.
Yeah, that's
who did
equally
it
stupid.
Right. Not a
blip. Stupid.
Right.
Right. That's my point.
But I disagree.
To me, an executive is way worse than a second year cornerback.
So,
well,
one's in a professional adult environment of leadership, and one is barely out of college, and we know he has done dumb things in the past.
All right. So, you know,
by that line of thinking, you know, if next year he ends up, you know, doing something else and getting arrested, it'd be even less because of the pattern he's established?
A little bit, yeah.
Really?
It's a blip. It's a blip on a dumb guy's radar.
I got to give him credit. He's insane, but he's consistently insane. Right.
But I think
like Johnny Manziel, anything he does now is a blip. There's so many blips that the radar just has blips on it. He does dumb stuff.
I don't think that everything Johnny Manziel does now is a blip. I think it's getting more and more magnified.
Yeah. If he hadn't won the Heisman, we wouldn't be hearing about
the Texas A&M
quarterback.
I think he's, to me, it's not a blip when I don't expect it. You know, when something out, you know, if Tom Brady comes out and does anything bad, it's not a blip. Because not only is Tom Brady, but he doesn't do anything bad. But when a guy who's done a million things bad does something, blip. That's what he does. Something stupid every few months.
Do you want a guy who does a million things bad on your team?
Oh, no.
Okay, well, that's...
So you think he should go?
No.
Oh, my God.
See, I knew the answer to that question before I asked.
I'm trying to get him down, but it's like... You know,
no. He's just like, he keeps moving. He doesn't want to...
He acted stupidly on multiple occasions. That is a fact. But I think the calls for his immediate dismissal...
Oh, I don't agree with that, too. Yeah, I agree that you don't immediately dismiss him, but you find out the facts.
Right.
And if the facts are that, you know...
Let's say at July 31st, he has to go to court for the probation revocation hearing.
Yeah.
If the court says, okay, yeah, you violated your probation, you have to go to jail now, let's say, you know.
That's a possibility, right? Yeah. He could leave that hearing through a different door than he came in.
Do you cut him?
I think so. Yeah.
Why?
I think that you gave him a chance by drafting him in the seventh round after what everyone knew he did in Nebraska.
Yep.
You gave him that chance.
Mm-hmm.
And then he kind of screwed you again.
No, but what is the difference?
Or not again, but he screwed you.
Well, what is the difference of whether he goes to jail or doesn't go to jail that day? The event still happened.
No, I still did something stupid.
My point is,
if they find him guilty of DUI, I think you got...
Well, that won't happen that day.
No,
that's just a parole violation.
Whenever that happens.
I'm just saying that the parole of revocation, I mean, probation, sorry. I think to me that's bad enough. You like Fred said, we gave you a chance.
But that already happened.
You were on thin ice.
In my mind, he did something, whether legally or not, he violated his probation.
Right.
He did something that someone who's on probation shouldn't come anywhere
right,
near.
Right, no, but I'm just saying, let's say.
Because he's saying that.
Yeah,
know.
he's disputing it. So let's say
I'm willing to give him that, and let's see the facts.
I'm not.
Okay, well, I'm. Then
I have no idea where you stand on this, and that's very rare for you. You're usually a very black and white guy.
I'm actually more tolerant than you are on this thing.
So he's totally being railroaded. He didn't do anything.
I think that
the Tour de France has to stop for trains.
I think
they're going to be railroaded.
Wait, it's like the biggest biking race in the world, and they have to stop because of trains.
I would stop for a train. Yeah,
I think
yes.
I think that it's very easy at 2 a.m. I got pulled over once after dropping off a date at the movies on 128 by a state trooper. He says, "Where you been?" I said, "I went to a movie." He said, "What movie?" I said, "Barton Fink," and he's like, "What?" I'm like, "Well, that's the name of the movie."
And he charged you with going to a bad movie.
And he said, "You're an idiot."
He said, "You know, have you been drinking?" I said, "No." He goes, "Man, you're the worst driver I've ever seen."
I can vouch for that.
He goes, "He goes,
parking lots.
No one goes faster in parking lots and slower on highways."
He clearly caught you coming out of the parking lot.
He said, "You know, you're all over the place." I said, "I'm sorry, you know," and he let me go. But you know, and this was like 10:30, 11 at night. So 2 a.m, I can see someone being pulled over. If you're straddling the line, I mean, you know, and you don't happen to be drunk, but you get pulled over anyway. Mm-hmm. I can see that happening.
He didn't leave someplace at 2 in the morning and not have anything to drink.
I don't know.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
I don't
drunk.
Know that.
Why I do.
Speaking of just drinking to get drunk.
No,
no
one's out at 2:30 in the morning if they haven't had anything to
That's
drink.
Not true.
I do want to say on my vacation
Leaving
that I
a
got...
booty call, whatever.
No, just like Johnny Manziel, I was a little dehydrated at times on my vacation. I just wanted to get that out there.
But we'd love to have him back next year.
Sure.
He did something dumb.
What? No question.
Whatever the legal ramifications are.
No, Fred's just offering a hypothetical sort of devil's advocate. I don't think Fred believes that, you know, this is all going to end great for Alfonso Dennis.
I'm willing to let the process play itself out.
Exactly. And that's why I don't I don't think that the Patriots have been wrong to not just release this guy. And I'm not necessarily sure that he has to be released. I don't think that because of Hernandez, you now have to have this broader scope and, you know, no zero tolerance policy for every other guy in your team. It's not everybody else's fault that this guy cast such a dark cloud on the organization and did so much damage to your brand. That's not...
It's also not realistic.
The other 50, you know, well, now the other 86 guys' fault or whatever many guys are left. But with the Dennard situation, I agree with Fred, it's not just your typical DUI, assuming that he's guilty. Hmm. There's an established pattern here of a guy that makes poor decisions, and he's not a guy to be relied upon. And this is, you know, when we talk a lot about every time that the Patriots have gone out and gotten a guy with a checkered past, everybody is quick to say, well, it's no risk. And I always bristle at that, and me and Fred end up getting a semantic argument, and I always say...
Eric and I just shut up for a while. Right. Laugh.
But I always say... There is risk. Even though it's not a financial risk, there's risk. And you're seeing that again right now with Alfonso Dennard. What is Alfonso Dennard projected as? Your top cornerback on the right mm-hmm. side. He and Aqib Talib are supposed to be starting cornerbacks. When you have a guy you can't rely on, you're relying on him to be in your starting lineup, and now all of a sudden, mm-hmm. there's a good chance, at the very least, he's not going to be there to start the season. July 31st is this hearing. There's a good chance that he's not going to be mm-hmm. available mm-hmm. at the start of the season.
But and does I that play to think, into the decision?
No, what I'm saying is...
Yeah, whether to keep him or not? Yeah, I think it does.
It was kind of separate. I'm talking about, I don't like the notion of just because there's not a finance... There was a risk in taking a guy who punched a cop a week before the draft. And everybody said, well, it's a seventh round pick, it's a flyer. No, this is the risk. The risk is it works mm-hmm. for a short time and you go to rely upon the guy mm-hmm. and then he screws up again. Mm-hmm. That's the risk. Now you're relying on this guy to be part of your team. Yeah. Aaron Hernandez, great draft pick, fourth round. No one wanted him. The risk is not just financial when you gave him the contract. The risk is he's a huge part of your offense and, that you're now without.
And
that's the risk.
And beyond that, you know, when you get back to Dennard or any guy, that, you know, this is a team that had something very unusual happen to it, you know, in the last month or so. You know, it's not every day that one of the guys on your team gets – charged with murder and goes to jail. You know, that's a rarity, okay? But
yeah,
it's a big
NFL.
It's a big effing deal. And, you know, regardless of
Vice President Biden.
You know, regardless of, you know, how Belichick, you know, masterfully deflects it going into training camp, it's an issue. An issue. And it is a distraction. And if I'm Bill Belichick, I don't know if you say this verbally or through my actions, but I need the help of my players to not make this something that's going to bring down this season, you know, because it possibly could. And I need their help. And what Dennard did is not helping. That just mm-hmm. makes things worse. And, you know, you don't want to, like, use a guy to send a message, but maybe you have to in this case and say, you know what, we can't tolerate that anymore here, at least for this season. You know, we've got a problem on this team that we're going to have to overcome. And now, can they use it as a rallying cry? Absolutely. And I'm sure they're going to try to do it. Like, we're a team. We have to stick together, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, also, you can't have guys like Dennard doing that stuff because it could very well railroad your season. It could.
If you do it, it's totally about a message to me because I think that half the team is doing what he did.
Fine.
Half the world
Fine.
Is out at midnight
well, but,
and
but
had
you
had
what?
Two beers
but you know what?
And may or may not be at the league.
I agree with you, yeah, but it stops now.
Yes.
Okay. It stops now.
But also, Andy, half the world isn't on probation.
No, I know.
But that's, to me, what makes it different. I'm not advocating every single guy that gets a DUI is gone.
No, I
think that Dennard's case is much different than the typical guy.
I mean, right. If Hernandez had never happened.
If it was like eight years ago that he punched the cop, I would look at this differently. It was 3 months ago he was sentenced. Mm. The head coach wrote a letter on his behalf vouching for his character. 3 months later, he made you look like a fool. I think that that just can't just be dismissed.
Yeah, it's not like this is his first. If this were his first offense, his first time he ever messed up, you look at it and you say, oh, you know, okay, he's a young kid. He made a mistake. We'll give him a second chance. He was on his second chance already, and he screwed up again.
And I agree with you. If you start eliminating every guy that has a DUI or the potential for one, you're dealing with
53 Matthew Slaters.
Yeah, I mean, you're dealing with a very small league. We were joking.
That's a praise of Matthew.
We were joking today, Fred. If you put a certain guy, a little bit of a shot. We were joking today upstairs, Fred. Yeah. You know, if you had, we were talking about Goodell and being commissioner. If you had a different guy as commissioner and he was like a real hothead and he was, you know, really like George Steinbrenner, just like making snap decisions. You'd end up having games forfeited on the week because some teams would have too many guys suspended. That's what the league would be like if you just had DUIs and, like, marijuana possession. I mean, you'd have no league.
But I think that, you know...
It doesn't excuse it either.
However,
especially the DUI.
However Belichick wants to get the message across, he's got to get it across that, look, we're a little different than most teams right now, you know, and I need your help here. Starting now, I can't have that. I just can't have it. You know, and then if a guy just...
Or what is going to be their response, I think.
Well, it might be a little bit more than it was, you know, the ramifications or the consequences are different than they were a year ago.
I like the way you're kind of putting that.
I like that, too. Do you think that comes from Bill or do you think that comes from Robert?
Both.
I don't think it'll ever come from Bill. I don't think it will either.
I think it comes from Robert.
I think it should come from Bill.
I don't think he'll ever think like that.
I agree. If I was Robert Kraft,
I'd stand there in that locker room next to Bill Belichick, and we'd both say it.
Oh, that's different.
Oh, he can stand there. That's different. Now Bill has to say it.
Now he's coerced. Now I could see Bill doing it. I'm not even trying to be a smart guy. I think that Bill. I'm not saying Bill advocates DUIs and breaking the law.
No, but he doesn't. He doesn't.
I think that he looks at
things
kind of the way Andy is talking and like. Yeah.
And he should. Because, by the way, in 35 years with 7,000 players, he's seen so many of these things that didn't come to light. And, you know, he's so jaded by the events of his history, I'm sure.
Bill Belichick's main objective is to win.
Win games.
And we talked
about the players who are here.
Last week I talked about it with Bilo, and I said I hope that the Hernandez case doesn't stop them from taking chances on guys because I think they need to continue to do that. But – you know, Bill always says, in the best interest of the team. I think this year is a special year, and I think in the best interest of the team, we can't have that crap anymore.
You can make an argument for
you know,
that.
Because it's going to hurt us winning. It's going to hurt us winning. It's going to affect our record this year if we continue this. You know, it's just going to...
Think of one in the AFC East.
What?
How?
You know, it's just you can lose the locker room. You can make every day a struggle off the field.
But I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that.
Yeah.
If the locker room is fractured, okay, that's an issue. But I don't know that because they get a DUI this year, the same year that they happen to have a teammate arrested for murder,
right,
that it's any different than another team getting a DUI.
We all know that.
Media-wise, it will be because we'll all glob on and say, what kind of operation they're running? But that doesn't necessarily mean in the locker room it resonates differently.
We all know that every locker room has cliques.
Right.
Not everybody hangs around. 53 guys don't go all the movies together, right? Mm-hmm. It's little cliques. Mm-hmm. And it's very easy in a case like this to have one clique is like, you know, screw that. We're guys, you know, they don't run our lives, and another group to be like, hey, team first, and it can cause, you know, a fraction within the locker room.
But I think that's true of any team.
I know, but don't you think,
we need to
the
be
circumstances
careful.
Surrounding this team right now are a little different than some other
media-wise, but I don't know that the fractured potential of the locker room is any different.
Did you hear about Marquise Pouncey and his brother?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Being idiots.
Absolute idiots.
But that's
the guess is they were idiots before and after.
Who's happier than Colin Kaepernick, by the way? No one's talking about that Dolphins cap.
By the way, at least he just had a hat. They had to have a hat made. This wasn't I just flippantly put a hat on. You had this hat made. Those hats didn't exist until you had somebody make a free Hernandez hat.
Right.
You moron. So this wasn't like I send out a tweet.
Yeah,
I shouldn't have done that. Can I?
Yeah,
you had to go through
we
the
had those
steps.
We had those back in Florida.
Well, you know what?
Well,
they may have.
Well, okay, but bad example there.
They've been in the closet.
Yeah.
You're right. We've worn these many times.
Yeah, the fifth time that Urban Meyer has suspended them.
You know, I just think
we need to be careful of overemphasizing, and it's huge, the Hernandez issue, but I think we need to be careful of separating it from the media image, fan base, and the 53 guys in the locker room.
No, and if I'm Bill Belichick, I'm still going to take each case individually. I'm not going to lump it in with Aaron Hernandez, but I need your help, guys.
I like the way you're voicing that. I just don't know if I buy that the locker room has more potential to be fractured this year by something off the field than it did in any other year.
Yeah, I actually agree on both sides. I agree that with Andy about the locker room. I'm not sure that's a huge issue.
Plus,
but I agree with Fred that I do think you need to sort of say, like, okay, I understand that this in and of itself isn't a major thing, but right now I need you guys to straighten up a little bit. We need to be a little bit different than the other teams.
But they're great at ignoring the noise, right?
Well, I'm not worried. The noise. This distraction stuff, I think, is completely overrated.
Then it's no different
to me. I agree with you, Paul, though, that I can't get my mind around Bill being the one saying it. I could see Robert any day of the week doing that and meaning every word of it, and Bill just standing there dutifully, you know, nodding his head or whatever. To me, I think he's just like, another guy not available, just move on to the next one.
I disagree wholeheartedly because I think this whole way to deal with the media and cautionary tales and all this comes from Bill on how to avoid distractions. I that doesn't come from Robert Kraft. How they handle the media now comes from Bill. And I think that this message would also come from Bill, but I think it makes it even more powerful if Robert Kraft is in the room when it's happening.
No, I agree with you that that's the big part of the thing. I just don't think the distraction is the same thing as eliminating Dennard. I don't think you're eliminating Dennard to avoid the distraction. I think you're eliminating Dennard because you feel like there's some damage done to your product, your brand.
Well, I also think that, you know, I don't want to risk it with this guy anymore.
Yeah, like, you can't rely on him.
I can't rely on him.
Right, but not a distraction. That's a football decision.
Plus,
I can't
you've
rely
already
on
risked
him.
It.
What?
You've already risked it.
Yeah,
you're already down that
taking
road.
The risk.
Right, right.
He's your starting cornerback penciled in. So you've risked it for this year. You're not going out theoretically and getting another starting cornerback. You've risked whatever value he had to you. So you're down that road.
No, as Andy said yesterday, if he gets suspended for, like, September, even if it's a suspension by Goodell, you know, I mean, it should be the four games that Rasai Dowling is healthy
for every year.
So he steps in.
You have issues at cornerback.
I mean, the Patriots have always, you know, people have said, oh, you know, I love the way the Patriots do this. You know, they give these guys chances, but they put them on a short leash. And they do it in a type of contract where they minimize the risk. And the reason they do that is so when they do screw up, you can get rid of them.
But they...
Yeah,
do that with Hernandez.
The only part of it I don't really like.
$40 million and a $12 million up front. That's not a short lease, low risk.
I know, but he hadn't done anything that they knew of.
Well,
they knew of.
See, right, but they knew of. But that's the problem.
If they had known that
he
was involved in a double murder, they wouldn't have signed him to a $40 million contract.
Fred, don't be so linear. I mean, come on. We all know that they didn't know he was involved in a double murder.
Right. In
but
all
they
honesty,
had to know something that he was involved in.
I don't know.
They had to have.
I think they are always knew that he hung around with some creepy guys, but
that in and of itself is a reason not to give a guy $40 million 2 years before you had to.
When did Connecticut become the gang central of America? is Chris Berman in a gang?
The doo-wops.
Half of Bristol is ESPN.
Doo-wop. Well, I don't I'm guessing it was
the other side of the tracks.
Towns close to Bristol, not exactly in Bristol.
Maybe, I would
imagine.
Because I knew.
Oh, no, I think it's Bristol.
Well, I know someone who lives in Bristol, and they're saying the same thing as Fred. They're like, it's not like there are mean streets here. There are mean streets in towns very close to it.
Sounds like there's mean streets. It's Davis something in, Davis Square, but
every town has
nice
areas. Bad areas.
It's
but
in Cambridge.
Yes. I don't know. Yeah. I just think
matter where you live, though, you can fall into the wrong crowd.
Sure. Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, but this is wrong crowd. If you read the story in USA Today about Ortiz, the guy who apparently flipped, this is like they were housing built for GIs coming back, so they're all very similar. I don't know if they're row houses, whatever, and they've turned into slums. Mm-hmm. You know, places where windows are something and screens are a luxury, and like really not nice neighborhoods.
So within Bristol,
it said Bristol. Yeah,
wow.
I've never been there, so I don't know.
You've been there.
I've been to Bristol many times. It's pretty bucolic.
But is it possible you just drove in on the road to ESPN,
yes,
went to ESPN, drove out?
Without a doubt.
You know.
Yeah, without a doubt.
There's places in New Bedford where you'd say, that's a nice little city. And there's other places where you
get
lock
the
doors
out of
and
here.
Scrouch
no,
down
I just
your
remember
seat.
Of the stories about when ESPN moved in the 70s, and, you know, Bristol was just this nothing.
Yeah, why did they choose Bristol? of all the places.
Because it probably is cheap land.
Well, the guy, what it was? I don't know exactly. You mean why Bristol specifically? I don't know that.
It was
close
enough to New York, yet they could afford the property.
Yeah, well, there's also very good tax things in Connecticut.
Well, the original goal for the original premise for ESPN was it was a UConn guy. It was Connecticut. It was to get UConn games on national TV.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh,
it was some Paul Perillo loser guy. I'm going to get my team on cable.
It kind of started as a UConn zealot.
It's like Die Hard Dogs.
Who thought that they could make a national
right
sports network. And obviously, he was well ahead of his time. It was like 1979.
Yeah.
But I've read things. I know they have very positive tax rebates for TV and movie production and different things in Connecticut that are very.
So, that's probably why. But, I mean, the whole thing was, wow. Bristol, middle of nowhere. Yeah. It was like this hick town. And then ESPN came and established,
The town grew along with ESPN, right?
Exactly.
I would think.
Yeah. But I don't know.
But apparently if you don't work for ESPN, you're in a gang or in a slum or
I didn't know Keith Olbermann, had an Uzi or, I don't.
Maybe that's how he lost his eye or can only see out of one eye.
Anyway.
Can he only see out of one eye? He can't drive.
Keith Olbermann.
Check. Although he's a colossal
I know.
Douche.
So
I wish we had some strong feelings about it, Paul.
So as we started, I think
Stuart Scott.
This is going to be a very interesting training camp.
Doesn't he have cancer
for a lot of reasons. It was going to be interesting anyway before Hernandez because of just the turnover and the reshaping of the wide receiver core and how the year two jumps for the defense.
I want to go back to Andy's point initially though was. Had Hernandez not happened whatsoever, I still think the Dennard story would have been a big story because it's a starting player on your defense, a player you were counting on. It's the slow time of the NFL calendar, so there's really not any news. That would be a big, NFL Network would have been all over it.
Yeah,
it would have been big relative to everything else.
To the time of year and the team and everything.
Yeah, right.
I think it's being lumped now in as, we got the Bengals in Foxborough. They're on their organization like Mike Brown runs it. Like
and that's why I said I agreed with your premise that it's bigger because of
it's bigger.
Right.
It still would have been big, but it's bigger.
But this, it's a starting caliber player and a lot of, much has been made of all the arrests in the NFL, but a lot of them weren't the caliber player, a starting player. A lot of them were kind of, anonymous players, and listen, a lot of them were starters too. But I don't think it would have just been nothing. Don't think it would have been a blip.
If the Patriots do their due diligence and audit the situation, and it comes back where Dennard and we have witnesses that say, look, I had one drink. We were celebrating a friend's birthday party. They stopped me at two. I panicked. I didn't blow hard enough into the breathalyzer. Because of the, I just panicked. And there's witnesses to attest to everything he's saying. I'm like, okay, but you just got to be smarter. You just got to be smarter. And I hold on to him.
It concerns me
I would too,
that he knew not to blow hard. Knew not to blow hard.
Yeah.
Because if he knew not to blow hard, it means either he or somebody has sort of told him how to get away with it. No. The idea here isn't to get away. It's don't do it.
Yeah.
It's get a driver. You can drink, but you'll never need to know how to blow into a breathalyzer if somebody drives you home. And that part concerns me. If he knew, on one sense, I guess it's good. He wasn't so drunk that he didn't know he didn't follow the rules that's given to him, but you don't need to prepare for a breathalyzer. Don't put yourself in the position to blow into a breathalyzer.
On a bigger level, I think Goodell has an issue. I think that when, we brought up the Pouncies, the free Hernandez. If those two guys felt, strong enough to do something like that,
have hats made.
It's probably not just the two of them that feel that way, and I think that's an issue.
Why?
If there's a certain segment, even if it's 1% of the NFL, 2% that feel that Aaron Hernandez should be freed, I got a problem with that as a commissioner.
But what percent could possibly be like best friends with him? I mean, played college football with him.
I don't
have friends that you might stick by, even though the rest of the world is totally.
In something like
personally,
this,
I don't.
Mouth shut. I keep my mouth shut.
I don't know if I would. You know me.
Unless you're like him,
no,
you don't know him.
If you were
his friend and he did that. Unless you're like him,
or you think he didn't
do it. I think that's Fred's point.
Or you think he didn't do it. There's no way my best friend could have done this. He's being railroaded by Ortiz. Right? I mean, you don't have friends that you would stand by?
That's a fair point.
Well, then
and that separates them. But, now you're talking about Florida Gators who could potentially be best friends with him.
And you're saying that they just don't buy it. Right. They think he's being real.
If James Harrison comes out and does this or some other weirdo, you go, wow, is there an undercurrent of support for this activity? But these are guys who could potentially be his best friends. I don't know how
they are. My initial reaction was yours, Fred, but Andy brings up a good point. That might be where the Pouncies are coming from. They just don't believe that he could have done
it. Well, then they're totally ignorant of the facts.
Exactly. Mm. Which is scary, but not necessarily.
The facts that we've known so far.
And what are those?
The police report, what they found in his flop house, all that stuff.
Right. The destroyed evidence.
None of that proves he killed anybody. The videotape. It proves he's complicit.
Right.
And for that, he doesn't deserve to be freed.
Maybe exactly. But from this guy's perspective, if you hung out with Aaron Hernandez for the last 5 years and you said, he's with those guys again. I keep telling him he's had enough of these. He gets caught up in it. He gets in trouble. He's in the wrong place. And it finally really caught up to him where it was a major. They may have seen this pattern of behavior. And again, I'm not saying this is the truth, but if he was my best friend who I knew was hanging around with bad guys and getting caught up in it, I think there's a way you could say I could be defending my friend.
Well, if he truly was your best friend, you would have helped him by now.
Tried.
You would have done something.
Tried. Yeah. He could be the dumbest person on the planet.
And if you saw this coming, why would you want him freed then?
No, but if you like I just said, if you believe he didn't shoot him, that he was there with those guys,
but if you knew
he's
he
been
was
hanging around
up,
with these bad guys, and he's a follower, and he's a this, and I don't really believe anything I'm saying.
I know.
Defending the Pouncies.
Right, you're playing devil's advocate. Right.
But I'm also defending the Pouncies as different than 99% of the other players in the league. I think they could potentially have a reason that they're best friends with him, and that they're aligned with him, and that they're defending him. There are very few people. Tim Tebow could be one of those. If Tim Tebow said, I'd say, maybe he just has a special relationship with Aaron Hernandez. I don't know that.
Yeah, I have to admit, though, the first thought that I had was Fred's, is that there are people out there that are, when they have made this statement, you know, the free Hernandez, there's people out there that are involved in this kind of stuff. That to me was the first thing. And I wondered, is there an undercurrent of, you know, in other words, the Pouncies might be saying, that could have been us. I don't know. I didn't really think of it the way Andy said it, but that probably is more likely what they're doing. They're guilty of just being ignorant.
Right. They don't want to believe that the guy they played with for 3 years and, you know, partied with for 3 years and hung out with is a murderer.
Andy.
It's a cold-blooded murderer.
But Victor Cruz, did you see what he tweeted?
Yes. About the Zimmerman case? Yeah.
Stupid. Yeah. You know, the guys from the hood are going to catch up.
The hood
with
is going to catch up with him.
Yeah.
Really? I mean, do you want to put that on Twitter? You know,
no,
the
but
idea.
That's, to me, that's where it's less bad.
Well, what was worse?
He didn't go through the trouble of having hats made.
Was that one worse or Roddy White's?
What did Roddy White
say? Said that all the members of the jury should go home and kill themselves.
Well, that's pretty bad, too.
They're both pretty bad.
But wait, you're okay with that? What was that?
I'm okay with that one.
I knew there was a weird...
Here we go.
You're not really okay with that.
I knew we couldn't go 5 minutes without the bleeding heart stepping in.
I just think that Goodell has to look hard and fast. You know, is Aaron Hernandez the only guy in the NFL caught up in this type of culture?
I doubt it.
I
highly doubt it.
Culture, I guess, no. But in an execution?
No, the culture. He's talking about the culture.
Sympathetic to the culture.
The culture that breeds this sort of...
I know things, but I'm not going to tell, you know.
Yeah.
No snitch.
Well, that's a...
Kill the rat.
Undoubtedly.
Shaq had snitches get stitches. He was, like, saying that over and over. But somebody had to tell him to stop that, like, that's not appropriate.
I think that's a problem. It is. Yeah.
It's definitely a problem, but I don't think it's an NFL problem.
No.
I think it's a world problem. It's a society problem.
Well, yeah, but my world, if I'm Roger Goodell, is
your
the
world
NFL.
Is the NFL.
I need to control my world.
And you can't.
Well.
You can't. It's sort of that thing as a parent. You know, you can do the right thing and try to win, but at some point they make their own decisions and they're off on their own and you can't control them.
Right, but that doesn't mean you have to. That doesn't.
Wendy!
Oh, jeez.
You know,
And but she's not overly fat.
I
she'd be fat if she didn't have those, but because of those, you can look
she's
past
very
the fat.
Similar to Serena Williams, I
think. Breasts. I'm passionate about breasts.
She's not as manly as Serena.
One of the things, though, NFL does work with the NCAA, but I think they need to sit down together.
Well, they're talking about it. You see, they're talking about combine invitations being altered if you don't meet certain criteria, you won't get invited.
It's too
late. If you're not academically eligible.
Right.
And I wouldn't be surprised if it got added on to that, or maybe if you were suspended.
Right. I'm talking about
a lot of those.
I'm talking about the moment you play sports for an NCAA eligible team, this type of counseling begins, this type of education begins.
Well, a lot of it does.
You know, if you can't get to the, I said it last week, if you can't get to the major, you know, you're taught at a young age, if you have major league aspirations, that you better, you know, find more than a fastball. You better learn to have a curveball. Well, why can't we also teach them? You better work on your character.
Because some of them are dumb as dirt.
No, I know, but they learn how to throw a curveball.
That's athletic.
You know, I'm just saying.
Some of, Fred, some of these people, you've spoken with them. They're as dumb as dirt.
I know, but, you know, I'm telling you that, that we have to do a better job.
You can't.
You can.
You
can't.
You cannot.
You cannot give
up
and say you can't do it.
Go be the AD at Harvard and say that.
No,
I'm not buying it. Go be the AD at Princeton and say that.
I'm saying that at the NCAA level.
If you go be the AD at, you know, Duke or Florida and do that, you'll be out of work in 2 days.
Well, that's the problem. I'm saying at the NCAA level, winning and money comes before educating these kids.
Yes.
And that's got to change.
No, it doesn't.
Well, yes, it does.
The NCAA is about sports.
Well, it's got to change.
They're about high-level competitive sports. And it makes a lot of money. It makes a lot of money for the schools. If you want to watch that, then go watch Paul's Northeastern Huskies.
Yeah.
Go stop by Harvard.
I know that's the reality, but the reality needs to change.
Yeah, well, Fred's right. Yeah,
your perception of the reality needs to change. Don't try to pretend that these are good guys, that they're student athletes, that they're all this crap. They are athletes.
I'm not saying that they have to get, you know, major in physics. I'm talking about
just be an upstanding citizen.
Right. If
you can't be an upstanding citizen, you don't deserve to play
college
sports.
And I'm not
saying
you need to be, you know, Mr. Tim Tebow either. But I'm
get involved in that kind of level of criminal
activity.
He had
the character part down. I believe. Yanni doesn't. I believe he has the character
part. I think there's a happy medium between being part of a gang and Tim Tebow where we can start to counsel these guys the moment they get into college.
But you don't think they are? Because I think they are.
I don't think they are.
I think there's a lot of player development stuff at the NCAA level, too.
We heard about, or, you know, we don't know if it's true, but we heard about things that happened in Florida under Urban Meyer. We don't, you know, if that's the case, then it's not being done.
Yeah, Fred's right.
Well, I think there are too many.
You're being naive again.
Why can't
people with talent will always be given multiple chances in every area of the world?
You're absolutely right, but
not unless the people in charge make it a policy to try to.
It's not the way it works.
One of the problems is
money and success and goals are what.
One of the problems is it is an arms race. If I don't take this guy, somebody else will, and if he turns out to be good, they're going to win.
That's the Urban Meyer philosophy.
Right. It's
and he's not the only one. I mean,
no, the country's littered with him. He just happens to do it better than everybody.
But maybe the NCAA needs to turn a new leaf and save these coaches from themselves. And, you know,
it's not a bad idea, Fred.
And cut off the hand that feeds it.
Well, you know,
just so much
that's
money.
What feeds it.
You know, it's just like everything else. You follow the money, and there's no way that these schools are going to.
So wait a minute. Are you saying that if the quality of play were diminished even just a little bit by not allowing criminals to play college sports, you wouldn't still watch college sports?
It's hard to say. It's hard to say.
And you're also,
you need to figure out how level the playing field is.
Now, let's take what.
But you still wouldn't watch it just for the love of sports?
No, but let's say, well, let's take that at
face value.
I didn't
watch NFL Europe because I wasn't watching the best. If all the best are in jail and not playing college football, then I'm not watching college football.
But I want to get back to that.
It would still be the best college football no matter what.
No, but I want to get back.
NFL Europe was still the best football in Europe.
No, there was another pro league that was a lot better that you
were
comparing it to.
Your eye knows what good football is.
It also happened in the offseason.
Your eye knows what speed and strength and power and all those are.
But I'm not getting into the abstract of how good the game is. I want, like, Eric, you mentioned, you know, you eliminate the criminals. Well, okay, let's eliminate the criminals. How many are you eliminating by doing that? The sheer criminals. What percentage of college football players do you think would be classified as criminals?
Well, I think a lot.
7%.
I think a lot more if my impression of big-time college sports is when a player gets in trouble, the school, the coach does everything possible to squash the story and to keep it from getting out there. I think there'd be a lot more if there were more transparency in the way schools oversaw their programs. There'd be a lot more of these criminal behaviors coming to light than there actually are.
I just think part of program.
I totally agree with
probably 10%. What do they have, like 90 scholarships or something like that?
Yeah.
So 9 players,
probably,
9 out of 90 criminals.
On every team?
Oh, not every team. Like, I'm talking major college football. I'm talking SEC. I'm talking legit college football.
Yeah. But I think part of the program, in addition to nutrition and weightlifting and conditioning and going to practice and doing, is keeping your nose clean. That should be part of the program.
And
it's not part of the program at that school, so I'm going to go there.
See, that's the problem. And that's what I'm saying. You follow the money. This
has been a problem forever.
I know.
The type of the problem has changed, but it goes back to the early 1900s where these oil tycoons were funding. It was all dirty. It was all shady.
But you can do that and be Vanderbilt and have this like great school or Duke. And look, even Vanderbilt had like four kids suspended and thrown off the team like recently. Now, maybe you can make an argument
saying
that's what they should all do.
Exactly. That's my point.
But maybe
when you're dealing with 18 to 22 year olds, there's going to be some urinating on the carpet in the hotel.
But Vanderbilt threw four guys off the team. Maybe Urban Meyer doesn't throw those four guys off the team.
Right.
I don't know.
Maybe that story never comes to light.
Or maybe Urban Meyer recruits them from Vanderbilt after they're thrown off the team.
The point that Andy's trying to make is that's why Vanderbilt can't compete.
But if you level
because
the
they are
field,
trying to do it the
but,
right way.
Yeah, but like,
and
like
I'm
Fred
just using,
said,
I don't know before all the you know everybody emails in with all the specifics. Vanderbilt crooked this. I don't know all the detail. I just know that within the past week they had four kids dismissed from the program. For,
right. But I think Fred's point is if those four guys who were kicked off of Vanderbilt try to say, oh, we'll go to Florida and play because Urban Meyer will let us, the NCAA has to step in and say, no, you're not allowed to play anywhere.
And I'm saying the
you
NCAA
can go to college wherever you
to
want,
do
but you can't play
because there's too much
there.
Money involved. That's what Andy's point is.
Yeah, but Fred and I are saying if enough people want something to change, it can get changed. Just 2-3 years ago, people were saying, oh, there's no way, no way, absolutely no way there will be a college playoff system in football, playoff system in college football.
I disagree with that. I think there's always been an undercurrent of people that thought that that needed to change.
And thought that it would make a lot of money.
Right, but there were also
too much money involved for it not to happen.
Too many people. No, I think most
too
people are saying there's too much money
to
for
happen.
It
well,
to
they
happen.
Were waiting for the bowl to kind of play itself out.
Right. But, so if there's enough people that want this to change, it can happen.
No, but that's
the point.
That's like saying if there's enough people that want murder to change, it'll happen or to stop using drugs.
Look,
or,
I agree with Andy. The reality is what you say it is, Andy, but I don't think that that's any reason to stop trying.
Exactly.
I don't think it's
easy for you to say. You're not taking in
billions
of dollars.
But I don't,
they'll still take
you know
in
what?
A lot
public,
of money.
The public can have a voice here too. And if
who said
a,
the public wants it? Well, I don't want it.
Okay. Well, I
wouldn't mind seeing that.
I know. I mean, you love choir boys and you want bad football.
But no, I'm sorry, but I'm
sorry. I like steroids and great athletes. I want to see the best competition on the field.
I want to
see the best.
Go back.
I want to see the best fair competition on the field.
Yeah. I don't
want cheaters. I don't like cheaters.
I agree.
When have you ever seen fair competition?
I agree with you that it can't happen, but I agree with the notion that Eric and Fred are trying to.
Oh yeah, when you're a kid and you watch the lame T-ball game.
But it should stay that way.
Yeah,
you shouldn't
no one can watch it.
Taking
that's
steroids.
Great.
You don't need to cheat.
You do.
No, you don't.
Makes you that's bigger, stronger, faster, and better.
Oh, stop it. You don't even believe your own crap.
That's because he took steroids.
No, I didn't, but I would. If I had the chance to be like a Division
One
athlete or
changing
something,
changing the
I would.
Subject a little bit, did you guys hear, and they were playing a little bit of this on Felger and Maj yesterday, and I don't know if you caught it, but the sound effects from Tebow.
Yeah.
Had you guys heard that? Because I hadn't.
Well, the exchange after the playoff game?
No, well, I think it was after the regular season game in Denver when Tebow was coming out the field and Brady said, you know, well, nice, something like, it's good to see good people. Good things happen to good people.
And I rolled my eyes
and
vomited
and Tebow said something back to him about.
I appreciate it.
You know,
I think he said, I appreciate it. It was this response to every answer.
Yeah, and one of them.
God bless you.
I you know, and I'm obviously I'm listening to it, so I can't see it. So I don't know exactly who's saying the exchange back and forth, but I think Brady may have said, and I got my eye on
Aaron and Brandon
for you. And I think Tebow might have said, you know, yeah, you know, that they're a handful. Or the other way
Brady
around.
Brady said that.
Tebow might have said, keep
Tebow
an
said,
eye on.
I appreciate
on.
It.
Tebow said, keep an eye on them.
Said, yeah,
and Brady said, yeah, they're a handful. But, you know.
Oh, no.
This was.
Tebow said they're good guys. That's what it was.
December of 11.
That's what it was, Paul.
This is long before any of this stuff.
Tebow said that they're good guys.
So.
And Brady's response was, they're a handful.
Let's not read into too much there.
No,
I mean, I'm sorry,
I'm
but
not
I,
reading
Fred probably
reading
thinks I'm a handful to deal with. Doesn't mean I'm going to go murder somebody tomorrow.
Again,
well, I don't know about that.
Wait a minute. You don't have to go from being a handful to a murderer.
No, but I think Rob Gronkowski's a handful. Right?
Yes.
I think Randy Moss, Chad Ochocinco are handfuls.
Yes.
I mean, there's plenty of guys that are handfuls, right? Again, we just got to be careful that one psychotic sociopath doesn't ruin the expectations for everybody. You're allowed to be a little bit off or a little quirky.
You're taking it so it has to be like a guy has to commit murder for.
I also think whoever took the video down was reading too much into the exchange. It's just something guys.
Somebody took the video down?
No. I mean, whoever went and tracked down the video and posted it. I'm saying.
Well, I think they just happened to play it. was how I heard.
That stuff has been on a lot.
The Patriots Broncos Sound FX or something was on, and I just happened to catch this, and now it's really interesting.
But I think people are looking at,
I think it's fascinating. I think it's absolutely fascinating that they specifically mentioned, you know, long before there was any talk about this. I think it tells you that they knew that this guy was trouble. Well, but I think it tells you.
I also think it's small.
Well, Tebow knew he was trouble because he had already testified to like the police.
Brady knew is my point.
Oh yeah.
Well, see, I didn't read that. I didn't read it that way, Paul. My first reaction seeing that was Brady's trying to make small talk with a guy he has nothing in common with, and the only thing he can think of is, oh, there are two guys from Florida on my team, so I'll just mention their names. Yeah. I didn't really think it had anything to do with
guys from Florida, but he picked two guys that have been in trouble.
See. I'm halfway between you two. I think he was saying it jokingly, like, they're a handful.
You know what I'd like
to talk
to?
That's what I'm saying. I think it was small talk.
They're bad guys.
I'd like to talk to Matt Light because he said what he said and there was no follow-up. What is it that you saw that, you know, Hernandez stood for that you didn't support?
That should have been the follow-up.
What is it?
Specifically.
That's the other thing, by the way, I kind of disagree with your whole fractured locker room, is if Hernandez was as much as an outsider as he's being portrayed, well, and I know he was a big part of the offense, but there may be some sort of addition by subtraction here. If they literally weren't comfortable around him, or I never stood, and there was some like coldness to him,
right?
There could be a positive benefit.
That's one of the reasons why I don't buy any of this distraction nonsense. It's not going to.
Issue is who's going to catch those, you know, 70 passes.
They might miss him, the player. They might miss the production, and they might not have anybody to replace the production. That's an issue. That's legit. I don't know. I don't have the answers, but. They're not going to fail because, you know, what's going to happen in the locker room and how are we going to do this? They're not worried about
that. I don't know. That guy cut through a cornfield. I got to start watching more of this Tour de France. It's interesting.
I mean, there's trains driving through.
It's your kind of event. Did he think he wasn't going to get away with that?
They're all my kind of events, Paul. Track and field, football, baseball, basketball. They are all my kind of events. They all cheat. They all take drugs.
Track and field, cycling, these are specifically, because there's no false pretenses.
You are so naive.
They don't pretend that, at least the other ones, they pretend.
You are so naive.
I'm not naive.
You're in Fred Kirsch
land. Think that
they're
pretend?
All cheating everywhere.
You don't think they pretend that there's testing in
high
the NFL?
High school, college, pro,
there's no
every
pretense
sport
on this.
Cheats.
Every single one of these guys is dirty, and they know it.
Right.
They all know it.
Right. But there is
at
a pretense.
At least they pretend.
Because people like
in the
Fred
sports.
Thought Lance Armstrong was clean while he was doing it.
Yeah.
So there's a pretense. No, but there was a pretense of that. No, they're really competing, and I'm really disappointed in myself for having believed in him. So you all were frauds. They're all cheating in all sports. Accept it, enjoy it, move on.
No, I want to accept that they're all competing at the same level.
Go watch some guy paint. He's not cheating. He's not. He may be on drugs.
He might be cheating,
but
you know,
he's probably on drugs actually. So even art.
Wait,
is
why
ruined.
Do you say that?
No, but listen. That's my point. This gets me a little angry. This goes back to my thing. How come no one gets mad? You know, I heard Salk and Holly were talking about this yesterday because they were kind of debating about baseball. Did you like it more when there were more home runs and guys going for 70 and, you know, the Maguire Sosa
chase? It's one of the most idiotic arguments I've ever heard.
And they said, you know, then you think about it and you really need to step back and say they're doing harm to their bodies and kids. Why doesn't anyone care that The Rock gets juiced up for his next film? Or don't tell me all these Stallone, all these aren't juiced up for film. You see them, they're big. Then all of a sudden you see them and they're flabby. You know, the People magazine.
Right.
Look at the beach body gone bad on this guy. And then 6 months later, he's making a movie and he's shredded and jacked again. You think that's all natural? No, it isn't. It's not just because they have trainers and dietitians. It's because they take steroids. Musicians take drugs. It is what it is. A lot of musicians take drugs. Mm-hmm. But it's okay in theirs to be doing illegal things?
No,
not if
not.
You get caught.
But that's the way the world works. Only naive people like you want it to be this like holier-than-thou place where nobody does drugs or cheats or does anything.
So there should be no.
So
rules.
You're saying nobody
no,
should.
But
nobody
don't
should
get
try.
All worked up over it. Don't lose sleep over it.
I'm
just
not.
How do you
enjoy
make change?
The
how
product.
Do you? How do you affect change?
Why
if
do we
you don't
change?
Stand up for this?
Why do we need change? Do
to
you
make
like music
better.
And art? Is it good? You like it. It's good. The NFL is good. They're putting out a good product of action on the field. Major League Baseball has good ratings because people are watching home, whatever. Enjoy the product. Don't necessarily care. I mean, it's like eating a hot dog. You don't want to know where the hot dog came from. There's bad stuff along the way where the hot dog came from. Just enjoy the hot dog.
One of the reasons why I think they should look into this is because I do enjoy the product so much, and eventually, unchecked, the product gets hurt.
Will continue to improve.
No,
just
no,
as
won't.
It has for 100 years when these people have been cheating
everything,
with whatever
Andy,
means have been available to them to cheat.
Everything comes to an end.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it does.
All of this cheating has grown over the years. It has existed for a century in all these sports.
So you think that if they just cheated, it would be better. And they didn't make any false pretense.
I won't say better because they're all cheating. So how's it going to be better when they're all cheating?
No, but there's
they
no
are cheating.
You drop the facade.
No, keep the facade up, but don't lose sleep over it and don't try to change anything.
Well, what
just
I don't
accept that it's part of the game.
What I'll say is this about, you know, like,
well, then why should there be rules to games?
Because there's difference between rules on the field and
But you're saying right there that in order to compete, you got to cheat because the guy who doesn't do it is at a disadvantage.
Yeah. Except for the great ones. I think there are genuinely great ones that come along every once in a while that are probably clean
and
as
day. And
they're
worth watching.
Yes, and you never know who they are. That's unfortunate.
See, what I don't like
is... That's an unfortunate byproduct of
the
society we live in.
In 1998, when McGuire and Sosa were going through that whole thing, I thought it was great. And there's no question. I thought it was great. Couple years later, when Barry Bonds was doing it and we all knew what was going on, I thought it was boring. It was boring as hell. I had no interest in it whatsoever. And it wasn't because I hated Barry Bonds. It was because I knew unequivocally that it wasn't real. I didn't know in 98.
So you want him to pretend?
So now, no. What I'm saying is if I know that it's not real, then it's not going to be of any interest to me.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying. They never brought that part of it up on that argument.
But so you'd also be interested in the chase for 21. If everybody gets off steroids and the season leader has 21 home runs. Is that interesting? Is that exciting? Is that fun? Is that...
The
baseball purists, I'm fine seeing a bunt in a two-run game.
I like baseball. But I understand a lot of people don't.
But tell me the home run not exciting.
Well, back in the day,
guy hit a three-run home run.
To me, what's ruining
exciting.
Baseball is not the fact that no one can hit home runs. It's the fact that games take 3.5 hours. And that's because every single
team.
But
that's a separate issue.
They all have this desire to run up a pitch count and foul off as many pitches as they can and take pitches. That to me is ruined the game.
But that's
not
a separate
not
issue.
Getting steroids
I'm talking
out of the game
about
hasn't
the
ruined
physical
it.
Act of games.
Yeah, I have no problem with 25 home
everybody,
runs.
Everybody to me likes a big hit in football.
I know, but
that's part of the game. You enjoy a big hit.
Yeah, but you take those hits out of the game, it doesn't ruin it for me.
With all the
I would like it a lot less.
No, I know you would. You're very consistent with that, but it doesn't.
That's what I'm looking to see.
I actually hate the guys getting lit up from the blind side. You love those hits.
Yeah. Put your head on a swivel.
You know, were all the great hitters of the past on steroids?
Takes a real man
Willie
to hit
Mays?
A guy that
no,
know
they were on
coming.
Amphetamines or whatever was available at that time to gain an advantage.
Well, but did it help them hit more home runs, make them stronger,
certainly,
all that?
Certainly.
I don't know.
Certainly.
What?
You know, Mickey Mantle, Willie Mays, what were they doing that made them
help
stronger
you
that was
hit?
Well, you were more aware, you're more jacked up.
No, amphetamines were a part of the game, no question. Mickey
makes
Mantle,
you more alert.
You know.
Right. Yeah. And I'm not saying that's as big an advantage. But it's an advantage. It's something that if one guy chooses not to do it over 100 and, well, they had 154 then, I guess, but there's a wear down and he's at a disadvantage to the other guys.
Yeah, I don't know. I understand what Andy's saying.
I do too.
To a degree, I agree with him, you know, but, you know, because you can't just say, stop doing it, and everyone does it. Now everyone's on an even playing field. And
no,
if
I mean,
could
I
do
don't
that.
Think,
great.
I'm not naive.
You
know,
so why not try?
Well,
Fred, that's the point. That's aren't you making that point too?
Why not try? I think that you have to. If you're going to test, you got to be as stringent as you can. And if you want to cheat, you know,
and
give
make
it
the,
a try
and make the punishments severe.
Yeah, give it a try, but you know,
meaningful.
Well, the punishment is extremely
and
severe.
And I think the sports
in
will still be
baseball.
Good, Andy.
It is now.
I mean,
50, 100, life. I mean, you can't get better than that. It's three strikes, you're out. 50 games, 100 games, then you're out.
Yeah, it is now. Right.
But, it has been since they started testing.
I think it could be more severe than that. I think you could go one season and then life. Hurdles. You fail one, you're out for a year. You fail again, you're
no
done.
I have no problem with.
Let's
with
get
the way they do
let's
it.
Get some of the listeners involved here. My cursor. Larry's in Miami on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Larry.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How you doing?
Long time no hear. good. I hope y'all had a good 4th of July and all the holidays.
Tremendous. Not a party till.
Back.
Thank you. It's not a party on 4th of July till the cops show up. That's all I'm saying.
You have a friend who's a cop, so he probably just showed up, right?
No, it was a guy with blue lights flashing.
Oh, really?
I didn't see him, and you get mad because I didn't see his lights when he flashed them. But, you know, that's a story for a different day.
No, why not? We're on the air now.
Go ahead, Larry.
I'm not ready. Yeah, well, to start off, you know, thanking off, I think it was a couple episodes back with Jamie in Houston or whatever. Just to back up on that, with those Canadians calling about our standards down here, I'm back in the American way. You know, they just need to stay in the attic and let us deal with, you know, freedom because we pay for it, and I believe that.
All right,
we have the right.
Canada, it's such a terrible. All right. You got any sport? You got any Patriots stuff, Larry?
But the reason I called is like, did we ever see if John Abraham got signed anywhere? And
he is not signed.
I believe they should bring him in for a veteran presence to PCC on.
Everybody believes that, which is why Fred still thinks there's a chance it happens.
I'll be doing.
He got worried when he went to Tennessee.
I'll be doing my victory lap at training camp.
Oh boy,
he'll die halfway through.
he'll be and on then, the team. He's coming.
Are you truly confident again in that?
Yeah, I'm back to I'd say 65% confident that he will be on the Patriots.
I kind of agree with you.
No, I still think that there's a very good chance that he'll be on the Patriots, but will you admit that it wasn't a done deal?
Yes, okay. I will admit that.
Right. Why? If he shows up in week 3, I expect you to go double barrel at Paul and dance around and cheer.
The only way it was a
at
done
deal. Like, yeah, he didn't,
you're right. Yeah.
Like he didn't just
it was agree. Funnier at you.
The only way it was a done deal is if this whole then visiting teams beyond that was a charade.
Blakely,
right.
But otherwise,
a charade.
Otherwise, I admit it wasn't a big a done deal.
It is a charade.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Well, yes, and on the yeah, sorry.
No, go ahead.
But on the wake of Dennard's little situation, it's looking like our secondary is taking a step back, and which was I thought it was taking a step forward, but it's taking a step back now.
Why?
So
because Dennard's gone?
I'm in on that.
Yes, when you lose a starter, that's a step back, Fred.
I thought that was part of the strength of was having the group that finished last year returning intact. I thought that was a big part of why I thought they could make a step forward. And it does take a hit. Even though I don't think Dennard is, he's not a great player by any means, but if this means Dowling, as Andy and I were joking about yesterday, if it means if it means McCourty has to move back to corner, whatever it means,
right? No, it's definitely not as good. Not as good.
Well, maybe. I mean, maybe Logan Ryan comes in and goes.
Oh,
wow.
Maybe somebody.
Well, Logan Ryan's a starter,
barring a new guy doing something like that.
From what we know now, it's not as good.
Andy's real devil's advocate today.
Yeah, really. Thanks, Larry. Larry calling from.
I haven't had this atmosphere for weeks.
Larry calling from St. Peter's Cathedral, apparently with the echo.
Where was he in Florida? Stinky Florida.
Eldridge is in North. Oh, by the way, Eric, have you read Inferno by Dan Brown?
He interrupted himself.
I'm in about 200 pages into it.
Yeah. You learn a lot about Florence and, and Venice.
Yeah. It's hot, huh?
Yeah.
Florence is hot?
No, Inferno.
Oh.
I'm almost done.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right, don't give anything away. I'm only at the part where
they don't give it away to me either.
What is it about?
Dan
Brown.
I read the other one.
It's the same guy, Robert Langdon.
Yep.
He's on
another Langdon story.
Oh, I might have to read it.
Yeah. It's good too. This one's
where does it fall?
It starts in Florence, and that's
no time wise though. Like, is it?
Oh, modern day.
Yeah,
modern.
So it's after the other stuff.
It's after the other stuff. Yeah. Yep. And there's this. There's a segment of I guess science that's worried about population growth.
Me.
Being the end of the world.
Oh, me.
And that there's going to be something, of biblical proportions, like the plague that will wipe out most of the planet again. And there's
I think we need that.
The villain in the Inferno is trying to make that happen
on his own
before it actually becomes natural. So
they're called transhumanists.
I figured it out. This is why all athletes. He wants all athletes to take steroids because he's looking to wipe out portions of the planet.
Right.
No. If everybody's on the juice.
Dr. Mengele over here. He wants to have like the.
I'm really liking it so far though, Fred, the book. What? I'm really liking the book
the
so
master
far.
Race.
I think it's one of his better ones. Do you, have
it's
you been
good
liking
so far.
It?
I'm not sure they'll be the master race.
I think you learn a lot about, all the art and stuff in Italy.
That's one of the things I love about the way he writes.
I thought
that
was the one thing I wasn't sure I liked about the other ones.
Right.
Is
what?
At times I thought it was a little confusing. Which the one with the chase through all the various.
I think they all have chases.
No, but there's the one
the
where
Da Vinci
it's.
Code, where
it's
he has
the
to
Da Vinci
go all over
from
Europe.
Each one. Yeah. Well, I felt like I needed to know more. I felt like I needed like a precursor to learn a little, like a map even, and a couple pictures. Cause like he's and I just got a little confused.
Right.
There's so much thrown
at
me.
Well, it makes you kind of want to see this stuff.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. Oh, I would love to take the book with me and go to every
stop.
Well,
I think that was the only book, the Da Vinci Code was the only one where he goes really like all over the map.
Right.
Like, Angels and Demons was basically all in Rome.
Right.
This one's so far at least has only been in Florence. I don't know if
they go
any
to
further.
Venice.
Okay, but it's still pretty close.
I'm not going to tell you what happens. Someone dies in Venice.
The other, the Lost Symbol was all in Washington, D.C., so he's sort of kept it manageable.
Yeah, I bet you they do tours of that. I bet you
they
can go.
There
and
are Da Vinci Code tours around Europe.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Okay.
You should do that, Eric, on your next vacation.
Let's go back to the
I'll live vicariously through you. Take some pictures.
Okay. Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Eldridge is in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
It's hot as hell in here. Hey, fellas, how y'all doing?
Infirmary. Good.
Hey, I can't hear y'all, man.
We're right here. Can you hear us?
I can hear you now, but when you put me on hold, you know, you can hear the whole conversation. But now I know what the listener was talking about last week.
Fred doesn't really know how to use the hold button in the technology. That's the problem.
Oh, that's the problem?
Yes.
I got a question for you. On the Patriots today, they said 32 going to be everywhere. What you're talking about, McCourty?
Yeah.
So if I go down to go to trial on the 31st, if he violate his parole, and he gets in within 5 years, if he did do it, do you still think they're leaving the corner safety or they're moving the corner?
Safety.
I think he stays at safety.
I think they leave him where he is.
I think we
unless they get a rash of injuries, right. I think that he would stay
emergency.
At safety.
But right now, I think they want him to be a safety. Plus, how bad does he have to be for, like, how long before you say he's not really
he's
a corner?
He's not that good of a corner, yeah. I'm not sure.
I mean, how much worse is – I mean, how much better is he at corner than Kyle Arrington? They both aren't very good when they played outside corner in the last year and a half, right?
Well, to me, he ain't good at playing safety either, but he's better than what we got, I guess.
Well, the only question would be, do you feel like you have more depth at safety?
And he's a better safety than he was at corner. I mean, I agree with you.
I think as a cornerback, he was one of the worst players on the field most times.
I don't think he was Ronnie Lott like some people have sort of painted him out to be at safety.
Who?
McCourty. Some people.
Who did it?
Who said that?
But I don't think
who said that? Names.
But I do think he's been much better at
Paul went soft over
at safety.
All right, thanks,
and
Eldridge.
And by soft, I mean his belly.
Let's go to some of the emails, webradio@patriots.com.
Jason didn't change that, Paul.
John in South Carolina says, if college football policed itself and had football players that actually attend classes, pass courses, don't get in trouble, and were not given special treatment, I think you'd lose 10 of the top 20 athletes. Might as well
let them go.
Kiss away all the first-round drafts from the SEC.
Well, no, you have to have first-round picks, right. And you have to have a top 10 athletes.
Yeah. It's like
they won't be the same.
This year's draft was supposedly not top heavy.
Right.
There was still a first round.
32 picks in the first round.
Skip says, and he's from Rochester, New York, multi-year podcast listener.
Nice.
Glad to hear it.
The hindsight
sorry about last
and,
week.
The hindsight articles and comments on Aaron Hernandez by Peter King and many others are BS.
Yep.
Many things that are coming out now were not known. If they were, they would have been reported by the media. Information on the previous shooting in Florida was unlawfully released within the last month. I'm not denying the validity. I'm just saying it was only coming out because of the recent events and the intensive investigation by the authorities and the media since the June murder. How many other draftees in the NFL had shady past? Should a full investigation be done on all of them?
No way.
Yes.
These things can only be handled on a case-by-case basis.
They investigate all of them, and the ones that have reason to, they investigate deeper and more and harder.
Okay. And that's how it should be for any and all job interviews.
But the Hernandez other things popping up, that happens in all these. I mean, right. Who was the guy here that just went to jail in California? Clark Rockefeller. There was an issue here, and then all of a sudden they decided, I think that's the guy who killed these people in California. His land, like they tied things together. That happens.
Yeah, I think that email is very naive, in my opinion. It's not the media's job
to go out. And
what information
came out unlawfully?
They're talking about the arrest that happened when he was 17. I assume he's talking about that's unlawful that was released
because
he was a minor.
Oh.
I assume. But, I mean, there's a laundry list of other things that were known. And, by the way, the Patriots should have known about that, too. And I'm sure they did, by the way.
Urban?
Jonas in Durham says, on Tuesday's show, Brian said that Tebow was definitely brought in to play quarterback because he's the third quarterback for training camp, the idea being that he won't play anywhere else if he makes the team. What about Nick Caserio? He plays quarterback in camp sometimes and then goes back to his regular job. The team could plan on using Tebow as the third quarterback in camp and then have him do something else if he makes the team. Brian is such a maroon. Yeah, I don't think Nick Caceres. I think that was a long time ago that Nick.
Well,
would
no,
play.
He throws
Nick
in
throws
practice.
The ball. He doesn't play ball. Quarterback. There's a yeah. difference. Right.
In yeah. the summer, your third quarterback takes full contact third team reps, and oh by the way, plays in preseason games.
And they have,
Nick Caceres not. Well, I guess no. he's allowed.
And they also
yeah,
have that portion
yeah, good
of
way
practice.
To scout. Wow, that yeah. pass rusher really got there quick when he nailed me.
But they also have that portion of practice. You know, we always call it the opportunity reps off to the side. That's an important part of practice for a lot of those guys. Yeah. They need a real quarterback. Doing that, they don't need a coach. That's
yeah, but
control.
Tebow was doing it during the spring.
All right,
I was being serious.
As to Fred,
do you remember there was like 17 incompletions, but, and he looked like Rohan Davey waiting 10 seconds to throw the ball.
But also, don't you really, think really that if there up. Is a chance for Tebow to do something else besides quarterback on this team, that needs to be established in training camp? He's going to need reps doing whatever it is they think he might be able to.
No,
do.
You're saying that he's going to have like a role.
No, I'm saying that if he is going to have a role.
No, I know. That's
gotta,
what I'm
you got to start.
No,
working
I don't think he
that.
Needs to do that.
But doesn't he have
camp.
To earn a role based on third string quarterback and then evolve from there?
That's how I feel about it.
Well, I think that
if he's around during the year, okay, now I can see if he really can block or if he really can catch a pass or.
Unless you think it's valuable to have a guy who can maybe play third string quarterback and maybe play tight end and maybe do fullback or whatever.
Yeah, I think that I think things get tacked on after he establishes the fact that he could be the third quarterback.
I think like Bill, like with special teamers, he says they make the team on special teams. Well, then they're active for game day, so
exactly.
I see if he can do this, and all
no
of a sudden
different.
He's playing this and this. Tebow has to make the team as the third string quarterback.
Now, well, see, I don't necessarily think that's the case because Bill has shown he can go through a season with just two quarterbacks.
Oh yeah, I'm not.
No,
I think
he can
get cut really and have two quarterbacks.
What I'm saying is, if you're going,
if he makes
to keep,
the team, it's as a third quarterback.
Yeah, if you're going
to
keep him,
well, I'm saying
him,
I
think no.
I think he can make the team, even if he's not a solid, in your opinion, third string quarterback. He might be able to just play quarterback in an emergency, but also play other positions.
Yeah.
That might be what gets him on the team.
I don't think he makes the team for that.
So you don't think it's if you make the team, it's got to be something else because we don't need a third quarterback.
That's my point.
No, I think he makes it as a developmental third quarterback and proves, oh, I can do a couple other things.
But can we agree that this is a little bit of a different circumstance?
Of course,
Tebow.
It's Tim Tebow. Everything's different with him. Yeah. He's special.
You know, for whatever their reason is, that this is a little bit different. So it's not just
right.
You know, we don't need a third quarterback. So they're clearly looking to see if there's anything. This is a first round pick. They're looking to see if there's something to tap here, some kind of development that they can make. I think that's my view of this.
They're looking for the year five jump.
And if they look at it, can you just stop for like 2 seconds today?
I got one more question. But the grass in Britain is always like looks like the dog pissed on.
It's the Open Championship.
Yeah, but why?
Anyway.
They don't have sprinklers. They don't have lawnmowers. They don't have what?
It's I don't know. It's the Open Championship.
Like every golf course in America, like is green, is pristine green. Why does that look like ass?
They don't believe in fertilizer.
Is that it?
I don't know.
We got a lot of English listeners. Why do your golf courses look like ass?
It's Lynx golf.
I don't really know what that means either.
It's a different kind of course.
Jonas, what does that mean?
Well, it's a lot of flat, open. There's not really
brown grass.
They're not. Yes, that's part of.
That's
it.
Part of Lynx. So but if I wanted to open a U.S. Lynx course, the
you
first thing
see
I do
like
is take
a lot
all
of
the sprinklers.
You don't see
out.
Like the narrow tree lined fairways that you
right.
do
okay.
on a regular course.
So brown it's grass is literally part of it?
I think so. Yeah.
That's
the only
ridiculous.
Thing that's really green is the green itself.
So how did all of golf become known as the Lynx? Like if you know, colloquially you say,
well,
because
it started
go
as the Lynx.
I think
no,
that's how it started,
it
like
started,
in Scotland.
St. Andrews.
But so if you're in America,
St. Andrews.
If you're in America and you have a bad golf course that you can't keep green, you call it a Lynx course.
Well, there
it's
are
brown
links, there
and
are
Lynx,
Lynx courses.
No, you call it, you know, Leo J. Martin in Waltham.
Right. But there is
a Lynx course. Dog pissed on it.
It's down south somewhere, old Scotland, Scottish Lynx or something like that. There's a couple of new Lynx courses.
Somebody like
that
me. Yeah, I can't keep it green. I'm going to call it Lynx.
But with Tebow, I want to stick with this for a second because I don't think
I
it's
just
necessarily.
I just want to finish Jonas's, but it's all right.
All right, we'll finish Jonas.
Well, he just
back
says.
Okay, one of you talk. You do it. I do it. You do it.
He just says as to Fred's new dream. Number one, I love it. Number two, I think that Paul's father represented the Boston Herald since the Herald was like a bad father to Paul and Fred hates all other media outlets. So he'd like to murder them rather than murdering Paul's father.
Whoa.
Who sounds like a very nice man.
What kind of dream was this?
He killed Paul's dad.
I had a dream where I killed Paul's dad.
And did you
what?
Try to frame me for it?
Well, no.
Somebody said that.
No, I just mentioned it's not the first time I've had a violent dream about work. There's one where I buried the axe in your back.
Oh, yes, that is true.
You wanted to kill Paul's dad? Oh, you
no,
did
I
kill
did,
Paul.
No,
he did.
And another father, too. Somebody else's father.
What?
Yeah, but Paul was okay with it.
In the dream.
In the dream.
Thanks for clarifying.
I met Paul's dad at the Super Bowl. He was a gentleman.
He's a great guy. which made the dream that much more, you know, not ironic, but
disturbing.
Weird. Yeah. Paul, go ahead with Tim Tebow.
The part I do think is a little bit different, you know, is I think that they're looking to see if there's, you know, the things that made him a Heisman Trophy winner and a national champion and a first-round pick is a little bit different than your average third quarterback. So they're going to see if he can play quarterback, if there's something that Bill can look at that and say, you know, with I don't know how many reps, he could be the guy that replaces Brady, hypothetically. I don't think that will happen. Before you yell at me, Andy, I don't see it either.
It's not even worth yelling.
But once you do that and you establish, okay, there's some potential here that we can tap, then I think you ask him to do the things that Eric suggested, and you see if you can find a role for him, because as a third quarterback, the Patriots have sort of gotten away with not having three quarterbacks a couple of times in recent years.
Right.
Maybe we can find a way to make this guy more useful than just a third quarterback, and we can put him on special teams.
And we want to keep you around, but it's hard to take a roster spot on just a developmental third guy. Can you do something that warrants keeping you around?
Right. Now, in training camp, when they've moved guys' positions.
Right, but he has to be worthy as a quarterback.
As a quarterback. If he's not, he's not worthy as a special teams player.
And I'm not saying a sure shot, but worthy of investing time in, as Paul says, to tap something.
That's what I'm saying.
Do you think there's any chance that Josh McDaniels said, you know, we all know he thought there was something because he's the one that drafted him in the first round, but do you think he said to Bill Belichick, look, I think this guy can play?
Yes, I do think there's a chance of that.
If we put him up, let's see, and his could possibly be the guy that takes, you know, a pair of
That's what I've thought all along, that whatever the plan was, they've decided we have a plan and we're going
to
enact it.
But, you know, going to the level of he could be the heir apparent to Tom Brady.
Yes. I think that's, if you
ask them. As ridiculous as it sounds,
yes. If you ask them their ceiling for this whole plan, that would be it.
But by that time, he's what, 29?
So?
Well, I mean, don't you want to have the heir apparent be a guy that's going to be on your team more than
five, six years?
Yeah,
why
that's
not?
Pretty good. Then you have
You didn't want to draft Whedon, though. You thought it wasn't long enough.
Andy, I don't want Tim Tebow to succeed Tom Brady either. Oh, okay. But I'm saying if it's their thought, that's perfectly plausible.
Well, I'm consistent. If I get a quarterback who's good for 5 years, I'll take him.
Okay.
I think it's that hard to find a good, and I mean good.
Plus,
like, he's good.
Plus, don't
Tebow will have been in your system for 3 years.
Exactly. Let's not compare a rookie who's starting his first year with a guy who would be doing it under Tebow.
Let's not compare a rookie who can actually throw the ball forward and accurately with a guy who can't.
In order to do this, in order to play your hypothetical game, Andy, which you completely gloss over the details, you have to operate under the assumption that Tebow was worthy of succeeding Brady. So if he is, he's doing so with years of experience in the NFL already under his belt. Brandon Whedon didn't have that.
Right.
So even if he was good enough to be your quarterback, he's still starting fresh as a first-year starter, rookie starter.
Good point.
There's a difference there.
Right. He's not hitting the ground running.
But and there was a guy running next to a biker on the ground.
You're fascinated by the tour.
Well,
the
I always thought it was stupid, but just seeing it in the background, very interesting little things have popped up. Mm.
But, you know, we've seen
like
other guys
racing across the field.
Yeah.
Instead of staying on course.
In training camp, we've seen Bill use other guys. And, you know, Troy Brown that year, in 04, he just started, you know, we threw him out at defensive back, you know, because we might need him.
David Givens.
Right? We've seen that with a guy like Troy Brown. But Troy Brown was established as a wide receiver. You didn't have to worry about, well, he needs all these reps at wide receiver because we don't know what he's going to be giving us in, you know, year 10. Now, obviously, you knew what he was going to do. Tebow doesn't have that luxury. I think you have to put him at quarterback in training camp. Now, it might be something more nefarious than that, too. Maybe they don't want us to see him playing other positions during training camp. And once we don't have access to that, then they'll start doing it. It might be something as simple as that.
Then we can see him hop around and fall down for 2 yards.
Oh, for God.
It'd be the worst kept secret in football, though, if they. We're going to try to play him at some other position.
I love when Fred does it.
Yeah, no kidding.
Fred does the squat with the shotgun snap, and then he gets small in the hole.
I don't know if I've said this on the air, but is Tim Tebow the worst great athlete that ever lived? Like, everything that is supposedly athletic, he doesn't do. Like, he's not smooth and, you know, throw and fast. He's
hygienic.
No, but even there was a story that
Larry Bird would be in that category.
Oh, no. Larry Bird earlier in his career was far more athletic.
He was a savant in basketball, but he couldn't jump high. He wasn't, you know, he couldn't. He
I
wasn't
think that's
fast.
A little disrespectful to Larry Bird.
Great hand eye, though.
Oh, yeah. Amazing.
But like Tim Tebow, there was a story that he could have been drafted as a pitcher, but he was a submarine left-hander. Like, he wasn't even the hard-throwing left-hander. He had to be like the quirky submarine guy. And yet he's literally I mean, based on college football, he's one of the greatest athletes that's ever lived, based on what he did at Florida. And yet it's just kind of ugly. Like the jump pass and there's nothing pretty about what he does. It's kind of.
Right. He's not fluid.
He's old
workmanlike.
He's old school.
And I should like him.
Yeah, you should like him. He's a good fullback.
But I don't. No. If he were a fullback, I'd like him.
If he was a criminal, Andy would love him. That's steroids.
If he could actually,
he'd be all over him.
Well, whoa!
Let's not even
pump
pretend.
Those brakes. If
let's not even pretend that he's not a candidate.
Okay,
Mr. Under Armour running in the rain with his pecs bouncing beautifully through the air. I mean, whoa!
He's always really on his mind. Taking a shine to him.
Always on his mind.
But I would like him if he was a fullback.
Suddenly, he's writing like Danielle Steele novels.
Right.
Oh, you are so naive. You still have, even though we, are you sweating like I am? Because I'm perspiring.
No, I'm peeling
dripping
badly.
Down my gut.
My
you got three layers on. What?
Oh, I knew it was going to be hot in here.
Hi-ho.
Where's
food?
His lunch?
Let's go back to the phone. Sean.
A little behind the scenes, by the way. Teddy Bruschi, Mike Reese doing a podcast in the studio next door.
Oh, good for them. Sean is in Salt Lake City, Utah. Hey, Sean. Sean.
Wake up.
Oh, maybe I didn't hit the button right. Sean.
Told you he didn't know how to use
Hello.
The technology.
Sean?
Sean.
Is Sean there? Are you
hey,
dead?
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, hey!
Was that Fred's fault or yours?
No, it wasn't my fault. What's going on, Sean?
I just had a question for you on the dinner thing.
Okay.
Like, I've heard everything that he's going to be cut, he should be cut, because he's already been given two options.
Okay.
Or two chances.
Okay.
Well, just given one chance. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Are you going to ask a question, Sean, or are you going to just sit there?
Hey, you there?
Yes.
Yeah, we're here.
Are you
there? I'm waiting breathlessly for your point.
Yeah. So why do you think that they're going to, like...
All right. Sean's having trouble. I don't know if it's his phone.
It might be a phone. Might be a phone issue.
Yeah.
Usually our callers are much more astute than that.
The long pauses. Like he's been on the floor. Paul like reprimands him.
I didn't reprimand him. I was being patient.
He still has another one.
All right. If you want to get your thoughts together, you can give
anybody.
Us another shot, Sean.
Reprimand him.
Steve is in California. Andy, Paul, hope you had nice vacations. I will say it's nice to have you guys back. As much as I like B-Lo, he talks a lot. At one point in last week's show, he started talking about something, and at this point I began doing something important that came up at work and thus temporarily mentally tuned out. 10 minutes later, I tuned my brain back in, and he's still talking. As far as I knew, he was talking the entire time. Anyway,
I smell a bit. There's got to be a bit that could be made out of B-Lo, you know, still go kind of like we had the junior say out retirement press. Oh no, Doug Flutie.
Doug Flutie.
Whichever
Doug
one
Flutie.
Was still talking, we could just pot him up in the background every once in a while, bring him back.
Doug
down.
Flutie and Taylor Twellman of they share the lead for longest retirement press conference in this building.
Anyway, I'm proud to announce that my fiance and I are getting married in Massachusetts in September, and we are both huge Pats fans. As such, the day after our wedding, we are actually going to see the Pats play the Bucks. Now, last year we went to the home opener against the Cardinals and we lost. What do you think the chances are this year that the Patriots win this time that we are there?
Very good.
The Bucks?
Yeah.
99.9%.
Okay. Well, I would have said the same thing about Arizona, though.
I would have. Absolutely would have said the same thing.
I
think
we did say the same thing about Arizona. I am not quite as high on the odds as Paul is, but yeah, you okay. should win.
65-35. Quick over under.
I'm not
game
as low as Eric is.
Quick over under game for you guys. Danny Amendola makes it 6 weeks until he gets hurt.
Over. Don't be so negative.
I can't get. I mean, I'm going to say over just out of respect for players.
The way the offseason has gone, isn't this team due for a nice story?
Yes.
And Danny Amendola, as the hardworking Wes Welker replacement, staying
nice
healthy
story.
Would be a nice story because by all accounts, he's a good kid.
Tom Brady.
And Paul rolls his eyes. Why are you rolling your eyes over
that's
there?
That's a stupid reason.
Tom Brady throws for.
Because they do.
They're not due for a little, good story.
Tom Brady throws for 4,000 yards.
The rest of the league would say they got about 10 years of what's happened in this offseason, too.
4,000 yards for Tom Brady.
Over.
Under.
Over.
Not a whole lot under, but
no, 38
39
by
maybe?
A significant amount.
Pats wins 12 games this season.
Doesn't matter.
Under.
Doesn't matter.
Push.
Under.
What, 12? Yeah. Under.
Push.
9-7.
Gronkowski misses 8
Why
games.
Aren't you answering, Fred?
What?
Why aren't you answering?
What's that now?
What's that now?
Oh, you're such a... I had a conversation with you in your office yesterday morning, and you already changed.
Oh, I see what you're doing.
I said I'm worried about this season. I am.
No, that's not what you said.
Are you worried about what?
No, let's just ask the question the emailer said. 12-4, well, let's over under.
Under.
Right now, I would say
Andy, that you Andy are and Eric are under. I think they will go 12-4.
I think they're going to win 11 games. So,
so you say under.
Then why did you say in your office it was going to be a struggle to go 9-7?
I said this could be 9-7 going south.
That was off the air, Andy.
No.
I learned from Mike Felger there's no such thing as off air.
I'm admitting I'm admitting that there's a lot of issues right now that the Patriots are going to have to overcome. And I think you know, if they do that, it's going to be one of the greatest seasons ever.
He always ends with, go Pats, like greatest season ever.
See, that's what this is all shaping up to. And, you know, the people that are, like I just said, I think they're going to go 12-4. That'll be totally ignored. Everybody right. will, you know, Fred just picked them to go 11-5. But if they go 11-5, he's going to deem it the most incredible season ever. That's what it's all shaping up to. You realize this.
No, 11-5, and they have to go very deep into the playoffs or win it, you know, the whole thing. In order to be the greatest season.
That would be a great season. I admit. Well, with this kind of controversy.
If you win the Super Bowl
this
all,
kind of
yeah,
injuries.
That would be the greatest.
Absolutely.
This kind of everything.
Yeah.
Free agent loss of Welker, injury. Yeah,
no one thought we could win the AFC East. Well, actually, everybody picked you to do that. Oh.
But if deep in the AFC title game, okay, Brady has cemented his legacy as you give him chicken poop and he turns it into chicken salad no matter what. Paul will be right. Although he'd say he
regular
season, right? Yeah, I don't know when Paul's right or wrong. Depends which day you ask him the question.
Although I didn't have any of those qualify. I just wrote the quarterback position analysis.
They're all out of cookies.
Oh my god,
that's a crusher.
Paul just got his sandwich.
No, all right, no cookies though.
Let's take a quick break. 1:22. We've been going almost an hour and a half without a break. We'll take a break.
Real quick, Fred. I want to thank Sam from Old Bridge, New Jersey, for buying us lunch on Thursday. I forgot to thank him.
I didn't get any.
All right, Eric had a lunch on Thursday. All right, we'll be right back.
Lunch?
More of your emails,
you and Jackie.
Verizon FiOS is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Jerod Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Jerod Mayo's sacks at Jerod Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
If anyone has used the contraption called the Nut Wizard, I need to know that.
Excuse me?
Yeah, it's called the Nut Wizard. I think you can find it at nutwizard.com. It's not what you think. It's for picking up, like, acorns in your yard. I have a ton of acorns, so I'm looking for the best way to pick up acorns in my yard without breaking my back, you know? So I saw this thing. It's like a cage with spokes, and you roll it, and supposedly it just picks up the acorns. But I want to, before I, it's like $49.
It's so ridiculous.
I don't want to buy it, you know, if it only works half the time or whatever. Or if someone has a better way to pick up acorns.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
You know, the funny thing about that Nut Wizard thing is one of our listeners did send me both versions, the small and large, and I haven't had an acorn problem since.
Well, yeah.
But it's only been, I think next year will be a big acorn year.
Why?
It has to do with the weather. And
Farmer's Almanac predicting it.
Yeah. This year was not a big acorn year. So.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe it was just one of those things. Isn't that how it works? Like, if you want it to rain, you do something.
Right. You bring your umbrella.
Right.
Pat is in Agawam, Mass. Says, good to hear that everyone's back. Fred, Paul, and Andy, you should all be proud to know that Eric and Jackie did a very good job in your place on Thursday. After I heard about Dennard's arrest on Thursday morning, I let my emotions get the better of me and almost renounced my Patriots fandom and became a Cleveland Browns fan. I also was quite disheartened.
Why would you do that?
I don't know.
We had to talk him off the air, off the ledge on air.
I also was quite disheartened that you three guys were gone and Eric did very little to soothe my psychosis. Jackie, on the other hand, just joking. I was quite pissed off, though, when Eric did bring up a few good points to make me think, who would have thunk that? My biggest concern going into this season is all the off-season, off-field crap that's been going on. I'm not going to itemize it all because it's been discussed ad nauseum. I think it does matter, Paul. I generally agree with most of your opinions. I know the Pats haven't been that team that lets off-field distractions affect their on-field play, but maybe this year is an exception. If this team only makes the playoffs this year, I would consider it to be successful, considering the off-season circus, all the guys we've lost on offense, and the fact that I think only one team will make the playoffs out of the AFC East. I know it hasn't happened since that 2002 in the Tom Brady and Bill Belichick era. I'm not counting 08, but it all it takes is one team to challenge the Patriots. Miami may be the team to do it if Tannehill steps up in his second season. I was worried about Buffalo last year, so maybe I'm just getting myself worked up for nothing. I thought I would offer up something different than Hernandez and Denner today. Thanks for being the best radio show on the planet. And last but not least, this one's for John.
Okay. If they make the playoffs, is it a success? Lose in the opening round, no. Wild card weekend.
No.
Okay.
Do you think it is?
Organizationally, I'd say no. Your goal is much, every year is grander than that. But,
given the
Welker gone, Hernandez, the distraction, the Gronk injury.
It would be a more notable accomplishment, but it wouldn't be a success.
Can I just say that I reserve the right to change my mind during the course of the season, but right now I would
or
say
show.
No. No, I would say no. I don't think it's a huge accomplishment because I think they're far and away the best team in the division. Right now, today, I think they're far and away the best.
No, but that's not the question.
Will they make the – is making the playoffs an accomplishment?
Right,
no,
but
to me it's not.
But it's not a comparison to the rest of the division. Once you make the playoffs, to get beyond that, you have to beat you could beat the Broncos, whatever the other team is.
No, but I'm not going to give them credit for doing something I think that they should do. I don't think that qualifies it as a success. I think you have to be better than I thought you were going to make it a successful season. Otherwise, status quo. What's
playing
to
your potential is not a success?
No.
I
don't think
it's
anything.
You have to exceed your potential.
I don't think it's anything to write home about.
Well, I didn't say write home, but a success.
No.
I mean, obviously, to write home about for this team is win the Super Bowl. That's to write home about. Regardless of almost anything else
that
goes on.
No, but I do
recognize.
When
Bill Belichick and Tom Brady are with you, the way to write home, quote unquote, is a Super Bowl.
No, I do recognize that they have they had a tumultuous offseason, and that sort of impacts how far you think that they can possibly go. And a lot of people, and I would put myself in this category, don't think it's a Super Bowl team right now.
I think until Tom Brady goes, the, hey, we made it to the playoffs, that's great, is not a successful season. When he leaves and you start that new era.
What about if all his receivers leave? Oh, wait, they did.
Well, that's a management problem.
It's regardless. It's a problem that you have to overcome.
But that shouldn't have happened. You know
what
I'm
saying? No. But that's irrelevant at this point. Whether it should have, given the talent they are going to put on the field in September, what do they have to do to be successful this season for you to say that was a good year?
I just think that while Tom Brady's here, you keep it going, and if you didn't, then you don't get any credit for making the playoffs. Oh wow, you screwed up in the personnel department and you made the playoffs. Good for you.
Well, no.
But what about the credit for Tom Brady for, doing the best he could and turning, Josh
Boyce.
That's
individual. That's Tom Brady. I'm talking about as a team.
Yeah, but I thought Tom Brady was the team.
He is.
No, you know what I'm saying.
I don't really.
Yeah, you do.
You seem to be blaming management in the offseason. I'm saying with the talent that gets to the field, what is the expectation?
Right, but there's no reason why.
And that's why I'm saying I can't imagine that they don't make the playoffs. Because I think there's
I can't either.
There's plenty of talent on that team.
Oh, I can't imagine they don't make the playoffs.
I mean,
I think they're going to have a difficult time winning on wild card weekend at home after they win the division.
Let's put it this way.
I think they're going to play a football team that I will think is either similar to them or better.
Do you think the Broncos right now are immensely more talented than the Patriots?
God, yes.
Okay, that's where I disagree. That's why I'm not.
I think
surprised.
The Broncos could.
That's
be
why I'm not giving
good.
Credit for making the playoffs. I don't think there's an enormous gulf between those two teams.
I don't think there's an enormous gulf, but they're head and head. They're neck and neck.
I think the Broncos are better.
If they're neck and neck, they're going to lose. Because have you seen Manning?
Right. No, I.
The man is unbelievable.
No, but they're not neck and neck. I mean, look at that offense.
I think it's close.
Oh, for Denver?
Yeah,
Denver's offense is superior. Yeah. Right now.
And this one is inferior.
Yeah, I would agree, but I think that
I didn't mean that
could change. That could change in a month.
It could, sure.
Right.
Well,
that's
could.
Why I
said
I reserved the right
it.
To change my mind during the course of the season. If it just doesn't come together, and listen, Andy and I have been on opposite sides of this argument from the moment that Welker left. He thinks it's going to be trouble. I don't. Once the season starts,
thankfully I got helped out by a few things that happened after.
No, but what I'm saying is I might change my mind, in the middle of October. I'd say, listen, Andy was right. This affected Brady
we'll
a lot
know.
More than I thought.
But we'll never know.
Well, you'll see.
Because you didn't
though.
Necessarily expect him to also lose Gronk and Hernandez.
No, I understand. But my
so
my
I can't
logic,
be right or wrong.
But even without Hernandez, listen, it's going to be tougher. That's a bigger loss than just Welker and Hernandez. But I still feel that when you have a great quarterback, the receivers matter a little bit less than if you needed a guy you needed Larry Fitzgerald to help whoever's quarterbacking Arizona. Tom Brady will throw the ball to somebody, and somebody will end up catching probably more passes than their ability
so you know, would otherwise. I would say
you and Bill Belichick see eye to eye.
I've seen Brady do it
kind
in
the
past.
Tone of his tenure.
I've seen Peyton Manning do it in the past with stiffs like Pierre Garçon and Austin Colley and not miss a beat. I think the Patriots will do that to an extent this year. Now, will they lead the league in points? Probably not. They probably won't maintain that production.
I don't care about that.
But I think they will still be a very good offense that we're not seeing Zoltan
Will
Mesko on the field
very often.
Will
they win a playoff game? To me, that's what it boils down to.
Well, hard to say right now, but yeah, I think that they will.
I say no.
I still think they're a better team right now than the Houston Texans, who they would potentially have to beat in a playoff game.
I say I'm not sure.
Denver to me is legitimately to be respected and feared. But I don't look at a game against Denver saying, "Well, I can't win that one."
I think you could get blowed the bleep out.
Yeah.
Because we'll see.
I don't look at it that way.
Yeah.
Because I now have concerns about my defense keeping up with their offense, and I have concerns about my offense just keeping up in a shootout.
No, I know. I think the Patriots defense going to be better. That gives me hope.
Is.
Yeah.
And
you sound like the guy we just had on the phone.
They may have just lost a starting quarterback, but somehow he has this really kind of bad defense to start with, losing a key guy and getting better.
I think they're going to be better.
They have no depth at any positions.
I think they're going to be better.
Defensive end, where's your depth?
I think they're going to be better. John Abraham's coming
in. Just because you continue to say something doesn't make it so.
And
if I repeat it often enough, it becomes fact.
And we'll see about the offense. I don't know
but
about that.
But you really think that Denver will blow the Patriots out?
Could.
Okay, well, do you think they will?
I'm not quite ready to make that assessment yet.
It's hard. Listen, this
when's
is...
that game?
November 18th.
Yeah, by that time, 24th. I may have said, wow, Amendola's really clicking and Gronk's back.
Right.
Now, no, and listen,
if you have those two, I'm not like you, Fred. I don't need seven all pros to make an offense. If I have two guys playing at a Pro Bowl level, from? You were worried about
it
the weapons
last year. It comes from you
year.
The entire year last summer at this time. Probably
now,
this very show last year.
Now I mean, we have no weapons,
when
and you
were chewing
might be
on your
worried.
Fingernails worried about how we're going to move the ball.
0.0 weapons now,
I
and he might be worried.
About the offensive line.
You were worried about
weapons.
Everything offensively.
I can have the tape played back
they
for you.
They didn't have enough
well,
receivers.
If we had a real producer, I could have the tape played back
last
for
year at this time, they didn't have enough receivers, according to you.
I remember being very excited about Brandon Lloyd coming here. And
look how wrong you were on that.
Exactly.
But you were very concerned about the receiving situation.
Now, you were right in the end. They didn't have enough weapons to overcome Gronk, who you said didn't matter because he wasn't really a weapon.
Alex,
so I don't know where you were.
Alex,
and that's completely making Welker irrelevant from 09.
Alex writes in, I really want Big Al from Valdosta, Georgia to call back again. He really brings out the best in the show. Anyway, I really see Shane Vereen becoming a breakout player for the team. After that catch against Houston in the playoffs, I saw a click. It reminded me of Brady to Falk. I also look back at the drafts the Patriots had when picking targets for Brady. I noticed that wide receivers like Chad Jackson, Taylor Price, Josh Boyce, and Brandon Tate had a lot of parentheticals. Brandon Tate, an ACL injury. Chad Jackson was just an athlete. Taylor Price was from a run-based offense. And Josh Boyce with a broken foot. The same goes for tight ends. Gronk with his back, Hernandez for obvious reasons. Why does Bill do this? Is it just... Bill's voice, value of the picks, or does Bill try to look like a drafting wizard and spit in the face of all the GMs that pass up on Bill's voice, value picks?
Well, all players have, as he put it, parentheticals. I mean, not all. Calvin Johnson didn't have a single parenthetical. But for the most part, except for the true blue chippers, there's something why you can't say he's a blue chipper. Why he, it's the offense, it's the this, his hands are small, his legs are short, his burst isn't there, he's a one-year wonder, he didn't start any games of the position like Kyle Long. So, there's a million reasons out there.
I mean, do you guys read the Daily Horoscope? I mean, I don't, but I've done it in the past. But you read those Daily Horoscopes, and they're worded in a way that
this could
be right.
You read Playboy for the article?
A lot of these draft guides, they write it in a way that they can't be wrong.
Hey, that's our whole offseason, so relax.
But you know what I'm saying?
No, I don't see the correlation there. I think draft guys try to be right.
Right.
I mean, are they right all the time? No. Not even close.
But you can always find a reason to downgrade most guys,
right.
Except for the truly elitist of the elite blue chippers. There's always a height, a weight, a 40, a quickness. He had an injury that's this. He punched this guy in the face. There's something. There's always something.
Now, to answer his question, though, I don't know this to be fact, but the parentheticals came with a lot of receivers. And I'm wondering if maybe something, Andy, you just touched on, when I was talking about doesn't matter who catches the ball, and then you say, well, Bill Belichick would agree with you.
Right.
I don't think that Bill places a very high priority on the position, receiver.
Right.
Maybe that's why he does that. You know, I don't want to take Calvin. Now, listen, Calvin Johnson, A.J. Green, there's different animals. And they've never been in a position to get one of those guys. But I do think that maybe he doesn't want to take one in the first round because he just doesn't value the position enough to do so. And when you're going in the third round, well, you're probably going to get a Brandon Tate who has a parenthetical and a Taylor Price who has a parenthetical. Otherwise, those guys would be in the first round. And I don't think he wants to use that high of a pick on it. I don't think he values wide receivers specifically. Now, I'm not saying that he would never take one in the first round. We all know that there are no absolutes when it comes to Bill and his personnel decisions. But I do think that if given an option, I think he puts receiver below other positions.
Like this year.
Right. I think he had Patterson. I think he had opportunities this year to take wide receivers. And
that was the one.
Yeah.
Right? Patterson.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that. You know, I think when it comes to those skill position players, the guys that really command the big bucks, you got to be really good for Bill to want to pay you those big bucks. Otherwise, he probably feels if you have the baseline competency at the position, if you do what I tell you to do, if you do your job, we can make it work. Otherwise, you got to be elite for me to want to pay you the big bucks.
But I actually look at it the other way because I don't think it's big bucks when you draft him. And I think the only way you can get an elite receiver without overpaying is to draft him. Because we see every year these guys that are good, not great, getting $55 million. And you're like, well, he's good, but he's not a franchise receiver. And I think the only way you can get those guys at an economically feasible price is to draft them.
And you know why I think that position gets overpaid? And I do think, I agree with Andy, I do think that there's good receivers that got great money. And I think it's because most teams don't have a great quarterback. I think there's a lot of teams that are solid at quarterback.
That's a good point. Yeah.
I think there are a lot of teams that are solid at quarterback right now, probably more than we've seen during the time that we've been covering the league.
Right.
I think there's 20, 25 teams that probably say, you know what, I'm fine with my quarterback. But they're not all great. Right. You know, once you get beyond 5, 6, 7, you need the receivers to help the quarterback a little bit more than you need that to happen here.
That makes
sense.
And that's what Tampa did when they went and got Jackson, or that's what Miami did when they went and got Wallace. Or you get a guy,
and
a
they
weapon.
Even a guy like Hartline, they wanted to make sure they retained because he had clearly established something with Tannehill.
Right. Well, What's his name? Went to Harvin,
you know,
to Seattle.
Hartline might have been David Givens if it was the Patriots. You know, solid guy, underrated, good player. He'll get paid somewhere else, but we're not going to give him the money. Miami looked at it and said, we need to keep him because he's going to help Tannehill. Right. And I think maybe that's what some of the teams think.
John in Winnipeg, who's vacationing in Victoria. Welcome back, everyone.
Not a bad vacation.
I was afraid Fred might be on psychiatric leave after his dream confession from last week. I thought Eric and Jackie did a good job pinch hitting, but someone needs to explain to Bilo that he needs to take a breath and let other people participate. Anyway, my question revolves around friendships on the team. I don't think this should be a top concern, but do you think that, especially in the wake of the Hernandez situation, that they appreciate when players have friendships with other players? From what I heard, Hernandez might have been a bit more of a loner, which may have led him to spending more time with his friends in Bristol. Could this be a value in taking several guys from the same school, such as Rutgers? Or is there no value in this?
No, I think there's value in having friendships and bonds within a team.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned it. You have to be careful that it's not too clicky. And even, I remember one of the Rutgers guys actually said that. We're so close, we need to make sure we kind of include the other rookies and develop a bond.
Start rookie minicamp.
Yeah. So, but I do think that, I mean, that's how you build a team, is camaraderie and jokes and pranks and hanging out. But on the Hernandez thing, I'm not sure he hung out with Connecticut people because he didn't have friends on the Patriots. He may have not had friends on the Patriots because he hung out with Connecticut people. You know, Matt Light didn't want to associate with what he was all about. Maybe that was, you know, hanging out with bad dudes from Connecticut.
Yeah.
So which came first, the chicken or the egg?
Right. But there's no doubt that all teams look at those bonding opportunities, you know, whether it's, you know,
barbecue down the road with the fat guys.
You know, they want that type of thing. And that's why camp is important. And, you know, why even, you know, the night before game at home, everybody's in the same hotel instead of, you know, showing up at Gillette Stadium that morning. You know, so it's, you know, that's important. The locker room is important, and it's why, you know, Bill Parcells used to bring the Circle the Wagon guys. You know, he'd get on a team, and he'd bring in the Anthony Pleasants, and, you know, because he knew that these are the guys that would convey his message for him. And they were with him, and, you know, he could trust them. So it is important.
But I want to say again, it never jumped out to me that Hernandez didn't talk to anybody or didn't have any friends.
Yeah,
he talked to people.
Yeah.
We saw him sitting by himself a lot, but we also saw him screwing around, yelling, conversing. I often don't know what's going on, but they're interacting with each other.
Yeah.
It's not like
it would be impossible to be in a locker room in a team sport and not have any interaction.
Right, but they're trying. I mean, it seems like people are trying to go back and paint it a little differently than it really was. I mean, if every guy who sat by himself sometimes was a murderer, then there's other guys I would finger for murder.
Well, I just think that everybody makes the leap to murder. Well, and did. I think that's ridiculous because there's no one that could foresee that.
Right.
Unless, I mean, you know, at this stage in his career, Tom Brady doesn't have a heck of a lot of
right
close buddy friends on the team anymore.
And I would absolutely agree with that.
Which is what I always find interesting about when they say, you know, a team has such good veteran leadership and that'll control that. Well, to some degree, maybe that's true with the personalities in the locker room. But you need to have strong young leadership that's actually interacting. Because a lot of the strong veteran mm-hmm. leadership goes home to their wife and kids at the end of the day.
And that gets back.
Doesn't go play video games. Doesn't go see a movie. Doesn't go, hey, you want to go to the mall, Patriot play, you know, do. So you need a good mix of young leaders, of guys with either within the rookie class or, say, the first 3 years.
Right. And I think, you know, one reason why they value guys like Slater and McCourty. I think those are guys that
McCourty, very much so. He's always interacting with the young DBs. And again, I don't always know what they're talking about.
Well,
but
he's one of those young leaders.
Right.
But, you know, and Andy, you bristled at this, but I remember when Albert Breer brought it up from NFL Network, you know, one of the things that attracted them about Tebow is that he was a younger guy and could sort of, you know, tie into those third, fourth, fifth-year guys and be a leader among those if it worked out. You know, Andy didn't buy it because he hates Tebow and all things Tebow.
And I just don't think your third-string, story-stealing, media whore backup quarterback needs to.
And as you can see, I grossly miscast Andy as a Tebow hater based on that comment.
Just a hater.
Patrick's in Boston.
From Disney, is that new?
Yeah. I said to you, is it just like cars? Only we going to make it planes?
Yeah.
The next one
looks
will be
like
trains.
Here's a few go-karts players that I think could be important. This is Patrick from Boston. Or need to step it up this year. Let us know if you think they can make an impact or not. Or no will do, but more elaborate answer is obviously welcome. Love the show. Logan Ryan.
More important today than he was a week.
Will he make an impact this year?
Yes
or no?
Yes.
An impact. No, he'll contribute. He won't make an impact.
Rozai Dowling.
Well, if he contributes, he made an impact.
Rozai Dowling.
Yes.
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 Tavon Wilson.
No.
Or Tavon.
What did I say?
Tavon. I am going to say no.
I'm going to say yes.
But I don't know.
Adrian Wilson.
Yes.
Yes.
No.
No impact. It's impossible for him not to have an impact. Because he's going to be bad or good, but he's going to have an impact.
Well, he means good.
Or unemployed.
Positive impact.
You don't think he's going to make the team?
I think there's a chance.
Well, there's always a chance.
So based on my answer, you know what my
chances are. And by the way, that's an impact, too. Because you went out and decided you wanted to add him to your team. And
all right. Well, I don't think he's going to help the team.
Chandler Jones.
Yes.
If not, row, Raggy.
Yeah. Zach Zutfeld.
No.
From Syracuse. No.
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 Tommy Kelly.
Yes.
Kenbrell Tompkins.
Yes.
Paul didn't answer yet. Wait, he's going to cut Kelly, too.
No, I wasn't going to cut him, but I think he'll be Gerard Warren.
So, oh, really?
Is that anything? Is that that an impact?
I guess
he did his job.
Yeah.
Well, no. Because Kelly needs to do more than
that. Right, I agree.
Kelly's penciled in as a starter next to Vince Wilfork, who is expected to put some pressure on the quarterback.
Did Kyle Love and Brandon Dedrick make an impact last year?
I think Fred thinks Kyle Love early in the year was
started
making impact.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Remember when he was
yes.
like in the backfield celebrating?
Oh, yeah.
Then yes, Tommy Kelly.
Then he got
right.
diabetes. And
Kenbrell Tompkins?
No.
No.
Jake Beckett?
Yes, I like him.
I'm going to say yes.
I'm going to go down 2 years in a row with him.
Dante Hightower?
Yes.
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 And finally,
I'm going down
2 years
in a row with him, too.
Absolutely.
Oh, God,
yes.
He's going to the Pro Bowl.
I pick Shane Vereen as my second.
All right, calm down.
You see
I'll add one more myself. Armin Hammer.
No.
By the way, I checked on Wikipedia.
I know you didn't take a picture with the back of my head there.
I'm going to say no because...
She's complaining about the glare.
I'm going to say no because the Lone Ranger movie's not doing well.
It really didn't do well. I think he's going to have an impact. I am total all in on Arm & Hammer for you, Fred. I think he is going to be a stud. I mean, yeah, you know, his nickname. He's going to be so good, he's going to be Arm & Hammer. You know, J.J. Swat? No one called him J.J. Watt anymore. It was J.J. Swat. A few people called him J.J. Watt. But
until he came
here. He's going to have a great year.
I think he... No, never mind.
What?
It's very inappropriate.
Were you
going to
make a heart joke?
No, I was going to make a very un-PC joke.
Michelle...
Captain... what was the captain's name? Something Wong?
Oh, that was unbelievable.
Holy fook.
They read that whole thing?
No.
You are a dumb fook for reading that on the air.
Who read that on the air?
The news station.
The news station read it.
Oh, yeah, San Francisco news station.
They blamed it on an intern.
Really?
And the intern did get fired, I guess, for...
oh, my God.
For writing all the names.
Yeah, but who thought that was a good idea?
But I actually, like to have I actually fun, heard but a plane the tape of them reading it. Yeah. It's hysterical because it's like, when are you going to catch on?
Well, I just laughed because did you hear like how she reported the names? Like if it was Fred Kirsch, they would just say and Fred Kirsch, but it was because it was an Asian name, it had to be like
slower
Holy
and enunciated more.
Fook.
Right.
You know, like
Something Wong.
Yeah, I mean, why can't you just say the name?
Yeah.
Then maybe you would figure it out.
Right, oh, if you said it flowingly, you would know that you just said something really stupid. Although, do you remember?
That could happen to me,
by the way. There are funny names. Do you remember when they had the World Baseball Classic? And I don't know whether it was China. They had some names that were like that. Like, if you read them with an English perspective, they were offensive. They were dirty. They were funny. They were silly. Not that this, again, was obviously stupid.
Right.
I don't know who sees a plane crash and says, ooh, an
opportunity
for a joke.
To make a joke and make someone look silly.
You know, I'm an intern. I'm going places
by making
a joke. Was
it one of those Ron Burgundy things where the intern was like, oh, there's no way he'll read this on the air. Or somebody was like, he reads anything. Put that on the air.
The intern at the station?
No.
Did it?
The intern at the NTSB.
Oh.
He confirmed those as the right names or something.
As a joke.
Well,
I didn't know that.
I don't know.
That's really bad.
Well, no,
I thought
it was
a satirical... like one of the like the Onion kind of things that submitted it,
and
an intern at the station
An intern at the NTSB confirmed those as the names
as a joke.
Like the news station called the NTSB, you know, we're going on the air with this report. The plane, and are these the names? Or and he confirmed them.
Wow. What? I didn't realize.
Yeah,
that.
Now he's out of work.
Oh my God.
Well, he should be.
I would hope so.
Oh yeah, but I heard people trying to defend like the teleprompter person, whoever typed it in. Well, unless you say it out loud, you don't. No, I read it nice
I could get
quietly
caught.
To myself, and it
I could
sounded
get caught.
Funny.
I could get caught with that.
Not
I absolutely
me.
Could.
Something Wong. I read it silently. I knew that there was
something
wrong with that name.
Yeah.
Melvin's in Tennessee on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Melvin.
Hey, what's up, y'all?
How you doing?
I'm pretty good. I just wanted to be real quick and talk about something I was thinking about. I meant to say it a while back and, after the playoff loss, but just as a unit, as a defensive unit, dating back to these last couple of years, I just want to see this unit grow as in not exactly needing turnovers to win a football game. I know we average three,
yep.
Normally got around 40, I think, throughout the years. And I just think that you can't go 19 games with and depending on the other team to make mistakes to win a football game. You're going to have to win one, 17-10 or 17-14. It's going to come down to
right.
A good, tough defense after a while to win your game. I remember in the Baltimore game, I think Woodhead, I want to say, fumbled that kickoff return. I was like, oh, here they're at the 30. Baltimore at the 30, not this year, but the past year. And they got a 3-and-out. I was like, where is this whole game? They had a couple of them to begin the game, and then they just go flat. And then just let the team, you know, get all these yards, score touchdowns, you know, throwing 20-yard passes. So, I just want to see this year just to, you know, tighten down as far as, your team's going to need you this year. You don't have those. Can't rely on Tom Brady every single game. You're just going to have to play small football and get off the field sometimes.
Gotcha. And that's where I think the Patriots are going to improve this year. I think the defense will
be better.
And I
hope
they do. They may be.
I really do.
Chandler,
it's got to come somewhere.
It's all on Chandler Jones.
Thanks, Melvin.
What?
Year two jump. Chandler Jones or bust.
Yeah, Melvin's right.
Yeah.
They need the defense
and I also
to contribute
think
a little
sort
bit more.
Of the opposite is true, and it gets back to we always talk about playmakers, but like you're not always going to get Tom Brady to find an assignment error that leads to a 99-yard Wes Welker touchdown. Like you need to be able to just make plays offensively and string them together, and I think at times they've they face a good defense, they don't get those key mistakes that they need to keep drives alive. It hurts them in the postseason when the teams get better. So, yeah. But yeah, defensively, there's no doubt. And I mean, have we ever seen a team? I mean, it feels like the Bears do it every once in a while. Like these teams live off the turnover, absolutely live, but they rarely win. They get to, you know, a second round of the playoffs or something, and then the other team's good, doesn't turn the ball over, and
you're done. The point is dead on, because that seems to be the only way that they create separation in games.
Right.
Their offense is always productive, and the defense generally struggles, and all of a sudden the other team will make a mistake or two, and that allows you to get the two-score lead.
And it's
now
over.
You're playing the game the way you want to play it. You've dictated the way the game is played.
You're like Andy at the poker table. I don't know how to play, but I'm all in.
In the regular season, that generally has proven to be enough. Now, there are times in the postseason that the other team hasn't turned it over, and generally they've been in trouble.
Hey, while we were away last week, Kevin, was there like some big issue on the PFW in Progress Facebook page or something like that? I'm hearing all this stuff about turmoil going on there.
Controversy.
There was some fighting, so I had to...
There was some fighting?
What kind of fighting?
Well, no, infighting between the members over.
Well, that's okay, right?
Yeah, but as long as you can't use profanity, that's the big thing.
Oh, I thought there's a filter on Facebook that stops that.
Can't call it.
No, I mean, if you can use the F word and all that stuff.
You
so,
can?
Oh, yeah.
On
really?
Facebook?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
You can write it. So Christy and I worked together yesterday and cleaned it up a little bit.
So what?
If you put a holy in front of it, you can't.
Holy fook!
Did you have to ban people or something?
Yeah, we had to ban a few people.
And say it very slowly.
Yeah, and they can.
You gotta be
cheating
me.
They can work their way back into the group. It's just we can't just let people run wild and not do anything about it.
So now they have to sign up or get permission or something.
They have to suck up to you.
No, they have to request to get back in the group.
They have to buy lunch.
Oh,
yeah. That's a good one. If you swear on Facebook and you get kicked out.
If you buy lunch, you're back in. It's a buy back in.
Oh. That's a good
it's
idea.
It's like the swear jar.
Yes.
It's like getting knocked out of the knockout in week one.
Yep,
you pay
you
an extra 20,
in.
You buy back in.
I like it. Swear all you want.
All right.
We'll let you back if you buy lunch.
Elliot from Houston writes, and big fan of the show. Unfortunately, I can never listen live and would love it if you would talk about this so I can hear your input when I listen the day after. There's been discussion here and there about the longevity of Tom's career and how hard it would be to replace him. But there is someone else, I believe, would be just as hard to replace in terms of being a true patriot in all forms, who sometimes gets overlooked. I'm talking about Vince. He's been the ideal patriot since his career here, and I feel he will be irreplaceable once he's gone. With all the unfortunate talk lately of Patriots players, I wanted us to discuss one of our best and what sort of legacy he will leave behind in the NFL.
Very good player. Very good off the field. No problems.
Excellent
charitable.
Patriot. I agree.
And I don't know that you need to replace him. We've talked about this.
Imminently replaceable.
The value of that position in the new age NFL of having a big behemoth. Even though he's a little more because of his athleticism and some playmaking ability, just it's a different game. And that 360-pound nose tackle type, even if you're athletic, I'm not sure you really need it.
Yeah, I agree with everything that he said complimentary about Vince. I think he's been a perfect patriot.
Except when he got mad at us for
would
picking
Vince
the
Dolphins. Would Vince Wilfork have had a more illustrious career individually if he was on another team playing a different type of defensive line technique?
He potentially could have. And I also think maybe 10 years earlier or something.
Yeah, I think that Andy's right. I think that...
Like, what's his name? Who's just going to the Hall of Fame now or just recently went in? The guy from Seattle.
Cortez Kennedy?
Yeah. I think there was some Cortez Kennedy in Vince Wilfork that may have been unearthed elsewhere and in a different era.
Yeah, I agree. I just think it's a different kind of game, and I don't think that those guys, the Ted Washington, Pat Williams, Chris Jenkins types, I don't think they're quite as valuable. Now, they're still good players.
And you still need that kind of guy, but the value of him is different.
And I also think that you can get a reasonable facsimile, like Kyle Love was at the start of last season as an undrafted guy.
Correct.
Now, I don't think Kyle Love was Vince Wilfork. I'm not saying that. It was a big difference. But I think that in terms of the overall impact that they made, I don't think it was as big as you might think. Now, maybe that's because Vince was there and we never know how bad it was until he's gone. And we might look at this and say, wow, we really underestimated how much attention Vince took, because we see it every play. He gets two guys on him every play.
Correct.
Finally, we'll end with Matt, who says, over under, catches for Welker versus the Patriots, 15.
Oh, under.
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 But... be double digits, I think.
But over under on the season, 145 over.
What?
Under.
Oh, for him?
For him.
I got him breaking the all-time receptions record.
Under.
Is that good for Denver if
no,
that's the
case? No, that's why I say it's under.
Yeah, I think it's fine for Denver.
Yeah, I think they'll be fine.
Although the guy with the all-time record did have Manning throwing it to him.
Right. And Welker has had a lot of success catching a lot of passes on very good offenses with Brady. Think of Moss and Welker, except now it's called Welker and Demaryius Thomas.
You didn't get Fred's thing, though. It's bad for an offense to have that.
Right, except when it's an offense here.
No,
that's okay for
no. Nothing. Now it's bad. Right, it was bad. That's true. That was part of the problem.
Yeah, now it's going to be great that we have five guys catch 40 passes and go 7-9.
Leroy Thompson's going to have 50 catches.
Right, Kevin Turner.
Everything but Patriots.com. All right, that's going to be it for this edition. The guys will be back on Thursday. I'm not sure if I will or not. I'm on vacation this week, technically.
Yeah, but you live right down the street.
I might come. It depends. If I'm out of town, I might not. All right.
If I'm not here, I won't be here.
So we'll see you Thursday.
Turn to the Mac, get up, what it is, what it does, what it is, what it isn't. Looking for a better way to get up out of bed instead of getting on the internet and checking a new hit. Me get up, first shot, come strut walking. A little bit of humble, a little bit of cautious. Somewhere between like Rocky and Cosby's for the game. Nope, nope, y'all can't copy yet. Bad moonwalking, and this here is our party. My posse's been on Broadway, and we did it all way. Chrome music, I shed my skin and put my bones into everything I record to it. And yet I'm on, let that stage light go and shine on down. That Bob Barker suit game and Plinko in my style. Money, stay on my craft and stick around for those pounds. But I do that to pass the torch and put
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.